Wake up and retrace your steps, the Jackson Movement, Part 5. This message was originally preached by Brother Amos on the evening of Sunday, the 29th of September 2019, at Bible Faith Tabernacle, Lagos, Nigeria, and was the original Part 4, which was broken into two segments after being rewritten in January 2021, making the fifth part in this message series. The Lord has always been totally in charge of His Word, and He alone is responsible for its movement and carriage around this globe. We have been blessed with being the ones chosen to keep it fresh for God's elect seeds, and we count it an extremely great privilege to be of service to God and His people. Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. May the Lord bless you all, and may He bless our meeting this session. We will simply continue our message, titled, Wake Up and Retrace Your Steps, the Jackson Movement. Please open with me to our first Bible text, Proverbs chapter 4, and we will take verse 18, where it records, But the path of the just is as a shining light, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day, of our translation to heaven. In total contrast, verse 19 provides, The way of the wicked, the tares, the unbelievers of the word of God, is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble, because they never see the real stone upon which they stumble, that they may wake up and retrace their steps and be saved. What a pivotal scripture this is, one which the religious world simply do not consider its utmost and unavoidable application, and neither do the Branham movement nor the Jackson movement. Coming to our second Bible text for this message, the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Verse 3 now warns, If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, for it cannot be withheld. And truly, if a man has the investment of God's grace to carry the divine blueprint of redemption for the entire body of Christ, he will most certainly be loaded with divine revelation, the fresh carcass of the word, fresh manna. And if the tree fall toward the south, or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. And there he will forever remain, till the Antichrist comes for him with his 666 mark. Except and only except that man realizes that he has stumbled on a stone of truth, wakes up and backtracks, and realigns himself with the truth, that very stone of offense. Brothers and sisters, by the sheer grace and mercy of God, we have shown conclusively and irrefutably by the Holy Scriptures that the exclusive means for the sustenance of the royal bride church of God, the end type of the church in the wilderness, the true church that is built for glory land, heaven, in the glorious day of rapture, feeds on nothing else and on nothing less than fresh carcass, the ever-fresh manna of the word of the living Christ, the end type of the ever-fresh manna which the church in the wilderness fed upon consistently throughout their entire journey to Canaan land. That was why, despite the imminent death of Moses, under whose lead ministry fresh manna started to fall continuously, and with the great array of men in the Jewish ministry, a threefold ministry, God anointed Joshua as a continuing and concluding lead ministry, the lead ministry of possession. He led the church in the wilderness into the promised land, and established them in it, dislodging every Jebusite, every Canaanite, and every son of Anak, who were in the way of the children of Israel, as God's anointed warrior, the Lord's battle axe, a prophet warrior. Hence, in Numbers chapter 27, beginning from verse 15, the Holy Bible clearly records, And Moses spake, as the type of Christ, by the Spirit of Christ, unto the Lord, God, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation of Israel, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, a guide under God. Why was this most necessary for the church in the wilderness, the church which set a perfect type, being only a shadow of the New Testament church, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd, meaning, no guide, no lead ministry? Moses did exactly as God had instructed, and he lifted Joshua up before the people, giving him charge in their presence, and placing his honor upon him, setting a perfect and unchangeable type. We all know the story, for we considered it during the earlier part of this message. Now pay attention. Brothers and sisters, what the Jackson movement cannot see, and what they will never see. All because of their willful unbelief is that we are still in the days of Joshua, the lead apostolic ministry of continuity and possession, the lead ministry of completion, the anointed guide carrying the fresh carcass, the fresh manna of the word of Christ, the true living bread. We are looking at the apostolic Joshua, anointed to equally bring down every wall of Jericho, every wall of tradition, and vanquish every apostate in the way of the word bride. Therefore, may I warn whoever has ears to hear, until the bride of Christ leaves this evil world in the rapture, she will have a lead ministry, a lead apostolic guide under Jesus Christ. Take it or leave it. Think about this. In the first age of Christendom, after the passing away of St. Paul, who was the apostle, the chief apostle? There was John, who was the last apostolic guide, the last guard, the lead apostle in the same first church age, who brought continuity, climax, completion, and closure to the inspired written word of God. In that efficient church age, it is the same thing in this Laodicean age, but it is now strictly on a revelational level, for as it is infallibly written in Revelation chapter 10, verse 11, thou, John, must prophesy again, right here in this seventh and final age of Christendom. Now deny that. Fight the prophetic word of Jesus Christ. Let me even ask the Jackson movement this morning, as my message is directly to you, and I have some serious questions for you. It is very interesting that you see the Paul of our day, the Paul of this end time, the man Raymond Jackson. However, how did you even know that the chief apostle that you love to talk so much about was the chief apostle? You hypocrites. Just how did you know he was the apostle, Paul? Because he was there for so many years, and you treated him as nothing, walking all over him, even placing your friendships for other men in the ministry above his own ministry stand because you saw him as nothing. Pastor Mike Hefner only saw him as a teacher, whilst he, Mike Hefner, has the gift of healing, for that was what he often told me about the ministry of Brother Jackson, which is an extremely poor and incredible assessment of Brother Jackson's chief apostolic ministry, and was what motivated me to write the book, titled Headship. So, how did you know Brother Jackson was the chief apostle? Was it that God dealt with you in your room in a divine revelation? You know he did not. You heard one small-statured man from Africa, a man whose eyes God had opened, to let you see that the man you were all sitting under for decades was none other than the apostle, the Paul of today, the beginning office of the apostolic fold of the original Ephesian ministry. No wonder Brother Jackson said, it took a black man from Africa to show who I am. It took a black man from Africa to defend me. Brother Jackson said to me, it took you to stand for me. None of my people will stand for me. In his testimony dated Thursday, March the 6th, 2008, having first testified of how God led him into the Bible light of both Brother Branham and Brother Jackson, respectively, Brother Alvin Suggs of Calhoun, Georgia, also wrote, and please note that all emphasis is mine. I will now update my testimony. Thursday, March the 6th, 2008. Because of for the truth that God has led me to, for this day. Because we are still here, and the rapture has not taken place yet. And as in all times, God will lead us on, and only with truth for the day. He will not let us just sit still, without more truth. He will always drop a few nuggets in the previous messenger's message to lead us unto further truth, if we will put ourselves aside and follow the spirit of the word. So with this said, I will give testimony of how the same God again led me into the truth of his day. In convention at Faith Assembly, when we arrived for service, I met a man and his wife before we went in for service. I greeted them and shook their hands and introduced my wife and myself to them. I had saw them at a meeting in the audience, the convention earlier. After service, I talked to Brother Jackson. I told him I had met a black brother from Nigeria before we came into the church, and he sure had a good spirit about him, and I just felt such a kindred spirit with him. He said, yes, Brother Suggs, this is a wonderful brother. And you know, it took God to send a little black brother from Africa to recognize my ministry. And he gave me the book of He That Is To Come. and in phone conversations later, he told me the same thing, and he made statements that he would not be surprised if Brother Amos would write the last chapter of the book of Acts. And in the fall convention, Brother Amos preached a message called Affinity with Evil. I sat there feeling the Spirit of the Lord all over me, just drinking in every word and thinking, God is calling us to a closer walk with Him in His Word. It is checking up time with our concerns of truth. Seems sometimes we get our minds so tangled up with the things around us that we get cooled off in our walk with Him, and He calls our attention to get closer to Him for a purpose we need in our lives. He don't want us lukewarm because we don't respond to the truth He is showing us. And He is saying, wake up, look at what I am doing. And sure enough, it wasn't long till our beloved brother, Jackson, was taken off the scene, and things began to happen, and such a separation set in the church, and those that didn't recognize what was happening are getting lukewarm on the word. They are losing their way, pulling farther from His word of truth. It seems many have closed their minds to further truth from the word of God and are going after heresies. So this is how God has dealt with me so far, because as long as I stay in my right mind, I pray God let me stay with truth that I can read in the word that will line up and take me to You, Lord. I know I am nothing and don't want to be nothing except a true child of God and make it to where God wants me. I love all my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, and I refuse to back up on His word for anyone or anything. I've been following Him too long to stop this close to the end. If you can read it in His word, I believe it, and I believe God has raised up Brother Amos to carry the word of God on as a lead apostle since the taking home of the chief apostle of our day. And I believe there are other apostles also that will come in line as we get closer to the end, as Brother Branham and Brother Jackson taught in their ministries while here, and all the ministry will be seeing eye to eye on every word of God. No schism will there be in the body of Christ. Amen. Absolutely. So, we can see that Brother Jackson also told Brother Suggs of how God used me to make His ministry known, saying, yes, Brother Suggs, this is a wonderful brother. And you know, it took God to send a little black brother from Africa to recognize my ministry. In addition, Brother Suggs also testified, saying, and in phone conversations later, he, Brother Jackson, told me the same thing, and he made statements that he would not be surprised if Brother Amos would write the last chapter of the book of Acts. The final time I was privileged to see Brother Jackson, it was in his humble home in Elizabeth, after the September convention of 2004. When Sister Arlen Marshall had arranged for Brother Melwood to take me there. As the three of us sat in a triangle, Brother Jackson turned to Brother Wood and said, Brother Wood, who would ever have known it would take a black man from Africa to defend me? Turning to me, Brother Jackson now said, it took you, Brother Amos, to stand for me. Speaking with specific reference to the book titled, He That Is to Come, which was later falsely judged by James Allen and Bob Thompson. The chief apostle declared, if that book does not open their eyes, referring to the Branham movement, even a dynamite cannot. Brothers and sisters, to prove to you that their testimony was truly what Brother Jackson said, and that it is no lie, as James Allen and Bob Thompson want you to believe. For the pressured brother were to deny the statements Brother Jackson had made in his home that day, when speaking of an earlier book I had written about him, titled, Does Raymond Jackson Believe the Message? In his August the 29th, 2004 sermon, titled, The Body of Christ, Part 3, the chief apostle stated, when Brother Amos from Nigeria was here, and he wrote the book, most of you've read it, but I thought, it took a black man from Africa, that have known what the birds have said over there, to rise up with a backbone, and say something in defense. And I'll have to say, God bless you, Brother Amos. That's more than these white fellows here in America's ever gotten. I mean that with all my heart. We got a bunch of characters here in the States. Brothers and sisters, all they know is to smile. I love you, Brother Jackson. You low-down snake. You love me no better than the bulldog out there. Because he knew his people, and he knew all that he had suffered under their hands, even from members of Faith Assembly. In his message dated 2003, entitled Unity, Part 3, Brother Jackson said, and please note that I am taking this quote directly from his video message. I look back a few months when I started dealing with this situation. Some people took offense. Even some of you in here did. You showed it on your face. Sometimes your actions speak louder than your words. That hurts me to think that you sat here for these number of years, and you've never saw a thing. I never asked you to come. You're not bound to sit here. Again, in the message, Body of Christ, preached in 2004, in part 1, Brother Jackson also stated, believe me, saints, I believe every verse in the scriptures are going to be manifested to the true body of Christ. There are going to be individuals weeded out, not because I am going to do it. That is not my responsibility. God is going to do it by bringing circumstances and attitudes that people will say, well, Jackson don't know everything. Yuck, yuck, yuck. And away they go. I am not saying these things to be mean, and I do not want to sound harsh. I am saying these things hoping that I can put a thought or conscience on caution in the minds of some. Moving a little further down, Brother Jackson added, little do you realize that a little over 2 years ago when I began to deal with this problem, that is, of Tim McKay, people took offense at me. Pastor Gary Stewart and his assembly in Bloomington, Indiana, completely separated themselves from Brother Jackson from that time on. Then when I began to hear what was taking place, the thought came to me, if I don't do something, the day will come when this thing will grow, and there will be innocent people led out of here. Everywhere Tim McKay goes, there goes a sideshow to be with him, a harem of support sisters. That is exactly what it would have been in here, if I had not done something. Even tonight, some doubt that what has been done was right, because it seemed as though it was too harshly done. Because people are always very sentimental, having only a religious spirit, never seen the gravity of something, and never seen the objective and move of the devil. Hence, they never see the serious issues that are being addressed, because they only see men. They only see personalities. Brother Jackson continued, when I said what I did months ago, at that time 7 dreams had already been given to me from different areas, backing up what I knew. Not one person ever came and said, tell me, Brother Jackson, what was that dream? I want to be obedient to the Lord. I was left with the feeling, I don't care what you say, I don't trust you, I don't believe you. That is what hurts. Furthermore, in the same message, titled The Body of Christ, Part 2, which he preached in 2004, under the subtitle The Importance of Taking a Stand, Brother Jackson remarked, I want to say this as humbly as I know how. I know that through the years our name here has been mocked to a lot of people, but God is able to cause those who seek truth to be able to receive it. When I look around and see the evidence of all this opposition, which he received on account of his stand on the issues involving Rolf Stroman and Tim McKay, I want all of you to know, it does not bother me one bit. God is bigger than all the opposition of the truth of his word. What does bother me, though, is to learn that many people that have sat in these pews through the years, people that I have been close to here in the assembly, and people that have had an opportunity to look at things through the scriptures and see the reality of what has been presented to them, still sat there with an expression on their faces that I was able to discern, which was, are we sure he knows what he is talking about? I don't think God would have let me print something for 30-some years if I did not know what I was talking about. I never asked him to give me this ministry. He just worked circumstances to bring it about, and because I love his word so much, it has been a great joy for me. What a sad testimony that was, coming from the chief apostle about his own people and his own local assembly. What great sadness and pain his people brought to him. Brothers and sisters, in the day when no man in the ministry will stand up for him and stick out his neck, I did, all by God's enablement. I made an open, categorical, and unwavering stand for Brother Jackson. The Lord inspired me, and I took a message during the fall convention at Faith Assembly in September 2003, titled, When God Lifts Up a Standard, to shake and wake up Faith Assembly and the Jackson Movement so they could see what God was doing and to make a categorical stand for the standard bearer, all in the light of Christ, all in the light of truth, when a lot of the people stood for friendship. The friendship they had with Rolf Strömmen. Many of the members from Faith Assembly thanked me for that message, some of whom were even closely related to Brother Jackson, although I will not be mentioning their names, so they do not feel ashamed. They confessed that it was my message God used to deliver them from the bondage of friendship, because they were mad with Brother Jackson on account of Rolf Strömmen. Then later, I took another message during the fall convention at Faith Assembly in September 2004, titled, Affinity with Evil, Still Bordering on the Issues of Rolf Strömmen and Tim McKay, a message I was moved to take because of a certain brother in the ministry who is given to spiritual fornication. I followed this message with another message during the midweek service at Faith Assembly, titled, The Foundation of the Fivefold Ministry, Part 1, Making an Open Stand for Brother Jackson Against Tim McKay. Three different sisters on three different occasions came to me and my wife to thank me for my stand and for the deliverance my ministry brought to them, although I will also not mention their names out of respect. A brother wrote me an email from Australia to thank me for my stand, testifying that it was what God used to deliver him from the bondage of friendship for Tim McKay. Brothers and sisters, my stand was so firm, so categorical, and so unwavering that it also forced Bob Thompson in one of his messages to ask the members of Faith Assembly to equally make a categorical stand, just as I had done, saying, as Brother M has made a stand, so they can know exactly where everyone stood in the day on the issues that seriously affected the entire body of saints. So, please, do not tell me you know who he was, because your horrible attitude towards him showed in the day that you do not. Furthermore, your horrible attitude towards the way forward for the universal bride of Jesus Christ that he openly and plainly pointed to at the convention of April 24, 2004, coupled with his declarations in many contained messages in 2004 of the apostolic leadership of the Ephesian ministry, equally shows undoubtedly that you most certainly do not know who that man is, and neither do you truly believe him. You do not believe Brother Jackson's continuity message. You do not. You are exactly like the Jews that Jesus faced in his day, who thought they believed Moses. In the Gospel of St. John chapter 5, verses 45 to 47, Jesus declared, Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. Now listen to this, for had ye believed Moses, truly believed Moses, ye would have believed me. Why? For he wrote of me, the Messiah. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Exactly. In the same vein, you in the Jackson movement only think you believe Brother Jackson, but you do not believe him, because had you truly believed him, you would have followed the present truth, this continuing and concluding message of truth, for he spoke openly of me. He even spoke of me privately to James Allen, Bob Thompson, and Steve Yarhouse. So, it is scripturally obvious that you are totally deceived and incurably deluded, thinking that you believe the chief apostle. Otherwise, you will acknowledge the truth and follow the continuing Bible light of Jesus Christ. For Brother Jackson declared in plain and categorical terms, there will be a key spokesman, and as he also revealed, out of the shadows, God is going to set a ministry out front. Why is this so? It is because revelatory unity within the true and original efficient fivefold ministry, a global ministry, not an American ministry, but a global ministry. As our chief apostle revealed, we'll start with the voice of one man that will lift up the truth, ever brightening the light of Jesus Christ, as the lead apostle, giving focus and direction. Proverbs 4 verse 18. This he said, will give us the third phase of God getting the elect bride of Christ back to full apostolic originality, having full restoration. On Thursday, May 2, 2004, during the midweek service at Faith Assembly, right after the April Spring Convention of 2004, James Allen asked me to dismiss the service, and I did. As I was walking away, in the presence of James Allen, Bob Thompson, and all the musicians on the platform that day. Brother Jackson said this openly to me from his seat. Brother Amos, I want you to know we are so glad to have you. It is a privilege to know you. I thank God our paths crossed. That was the week after he had introduced me to the Universal Bride, declaring, "There's no doubt, you will write the last chapter of the book of Acts, as a bride gets ready to leave this world." The myriad of testimonies by Brother Jackson stands as a firm witness against you, proving that you most certainly do not believe him. The idols in your hearts, the idols of ambition, the idols of racial prejudice, the idols of envy and jealousy, the idols of unbelief, your preconceived ideas of the fivefold ministry, not God's efficient fivefold ministry that is laid out in the Holy Scriptures, which has a revealed plot, a divine due order for its establishment, headed by apostles, having a lead apostle that functions in perfect unity and harmony. But your unpreconceived carnal notions of the fivefold ministry cannot let you see the light, the true light. You are exactly like the children of Israel, whom Stephen the evangelist gave a scathing rebuke for their gross unbelief and hardness of heart, just as it is written in Acts chapter 7, verses 51-53. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which should before of the coming of the Just One, Christ the promised Messiah, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition, or ministry, of angels, and have not kept it. Just as the chief apostle also showed you by the Holy Scriptures, the ministerial way forward, but you will not walk in it, because you are not leadable, for only God's sheep can be led by the Word, the revealed Word. Yet, this is a way we have never walked before, and it is absolutely most certain that we cannot walk this way without an apostolic guide under Jesus Christ, him whom he, Christ, hath sent. John 6 verse 29. How are you going to get away from the returned apostolic lead ministry of John? You are going nowhere without an apostolic guide, a true apostolic guide, a man who can turn on the light, all by the Spirit of Christ, the carrier of every fresh manna, in this eagle age, the age of a flying eagle. What are you going to do without a divine plumb line holder? Are you going to use one lone quote of Brother Jackson to overturn the plenitude of quotes of the same Brother Jackson that speaks to the contrary? And more importantly, are you going to use that lone quote to overturn the true revelation of Jesus Christ, God's plan of redemption? Reading and quoting something is one thing. Having a revelation of it is quite another thing entirely. Furthermore, merely condemning something is one thing. Having a revelation of the truth is another thing altogether. For until you have perfect scriptural answers to the legitimate Bible questions of the children of God, you are only beating your gums together, and anyone can do that. In his message preached in February 2003, entitled, "Looking at Time, O Scribe, Look Out, Part 2, the chief apostle stated, "So, when my dear brother, referring to Rolf Stroman, tries to persuade me that this is the order, he brings it in like, Brother Branham was the prophet, the Elijah, but I'm the apostle that steps in next in line, and now the fivefold ministry comes on after him, who is Jehu." That's not so. I have been preaching the fivefold ministry, brothers and sisters, ever since God opened my eyes to the fact that's what God has called me to do. From Norway to India, I said, God has called me to stand for some men. It's not a one-man show. And that is the truth, because one man cannot do the job ordained for the fivefold ministry. You must note, however, that he was not using this statement to take away the preeminent place of a lead ministry, such as that of the Apostle Paul, and neither did he make this declaration to deny the scriptural divine order of the establishment of the fivefold ministry, an order he also upheld in his messages. Now listen very carefully and put on your thinking caps. Brother Jackson added, "Now, he, the Lord, is not going to use one man to stand in the second term, so that a new generation of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers can come on. Because I will take you back to John the Baptist, then Jesus, then them 12 that wasn't dead become apostles. They are the beginning then of the ministry that followed, and Paul wrote about it, and John was the last one of them. In other words, the ministry ordering the day was Elijah, John the Baptist, the Messiah, the 12 apostles. Brother Jackson concluded, saying, "You cannot break the continuity of what the Bible says, which is an irrefutable fact, because the revelation of God and His ways are one, God being perfect in all His ways. However, saints of God, the absolute and undeniably truth also remains that among the 12 apostles to the Jews, we had the apostle Peter, the man who received the apostleship of the circumcision, because the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto Peter, who held the three keys to the kingdom, and he was also the Gentile connector, just as the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto Paul, for he was equally the apostle of the Gentiles." Galatians verses 7 to 8, Matthew 16 verse 19, Acts 15 verse 7, Romans 11 verse 13. Brothers and sisters, we can either take this quote as a fan of Matthew 3 verse 12, which does not overturn all the other quotes which clearly speak of apostolic leadership for obtaining unity revelation, or realize that Brother Jackson made this statement specifically because of the false Jehu ministry projection of Rolf Stroman, who taught this strange ministry order, Elijah, Paul, Jehu, fivefold ministry, a gross error, which overturns the word of God. For all we have is Elijah and the Ephesians fivefold ministry, as even the seven thunders are coming out of the apostolic fold of the Ephesians ministry. Therefore, we must see, brothers and sisters, that the false Jehu ministry projection was the very reason Brother Jackson preached this particular sermon in the first place, warning all men in the ministry. Watch that video message, or listen to the audio. Because Rolf Stroman expected the chief apostle to step aside for him as Jehu lead ministry, simply because of Sister Opal Jackson's medical condition, which tied Brother Jackson down, and the Jehu ministry was to take over, before the fivefold ministry would then follow. That was why Brother Jackson said, "Now he, the Lord, is not going to use one man to stand in the second term, in the same second phase, that second junction of time where we already have the chief apostle, to be replaced or displaced by another one man, the so-called Jehu ministry, so that a new generation of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers can come on, after Jehu. Wake up." That was precisely why Brother Jackson concluded, saying in very clear and unambiguous terms, "Because I will take you back to John the Baptist, then Jesus, then them 12, Jewish disciples, that wasn't yet become apostles. For that is what gives us the true order of how God establishes these three phases of ministry. Elijah, the Messiah, the 12 apostles, and it had no Jehu in it. Come on! The order was not John the Baptist, Jesus, the 12 apostles, Jehu, the fivefold ministry. No, it never was like that. Hence, Brother Jackson now warned, you cannot break the continuity of what the Bible says. Brothers and sisters, whichever way you take this quote, it will never nullify God's ministerial revealed plan of redemption, because in this hour of gross darkness and mass confusion, a few seconds to the rapture, Jesus Christ has to have a true witness, a faithful witness of truth, the lead apostle of continuity and completion. It gives us the apostle who will write the last chapter of the book of Acts, the man who is the messenger in the latter rain. In the Jackson movement, you just do not get it, and you just cannot get that you cannot follow God without following a man somewhere. You must follow someone. In the Contender magazine dated September 1977, and titled The Apostle's Office, Part 1. Under the subtitle, You Will Follow Someone, Brother Jackson stated, if God has apostles in the church today, and we know that He does because the Bible says so, then He has ordained that they be recognized by the believers of this age. That will not make the man with the office any better than anyone else. It is a spirit of jealousy that gets hold of a lot of people, especially preachers, and causes them to resent a man that God is speaking to. Brothers and sisters, I will have to say, you had better get hold of yourself. This is God's ordained way to perfect the bride of Christ. You are going to wind up sooner or later, following some man, somewhere. It is up to you who would value your soul to make sure that you are following a man, or men, that will lead you down the pathway of eternal life and true holiness. The men who fulfill these Bible offices are not doing so because they chose to. They are doing so because God has worked circumstances to get them into the place where they are. Look at the extreme measures that God took in dealing with Saul of Tarsus before he ever got his life in line so that he could fulfill his calling. The only thing is that we are expected to make sure that that person has a clear, crystal clear revelation of the Holy Scriptures, bringing ever greater revelatory depth and much-needed unending richness to the message of Jesus Christ that is laid out in the Holy Bible, ever brightening our revelational understanding of the Word, because he possesses the revelatory key to the Holy Bible, by the investment of grace, the investment of God. The bottom line is this, for this is what it all boils down to. In the final analysis, you will either follow John, the messenger in the latter rain, in the true light of Jesus Christ, whom both our Elijah and Paul pointed to, or you will follow the man of sin, the Pope of Rome, when the bride of Christ is gone. The choice is yours. You obviously do not have any clue as to what the day is saying, where we are in time. Saints of God, it is raw and undiluted unbelief for anyone to see the lead ministries of the end time Elijah and Paul, and then refuse that of John, whom both Elijah and the chief apostle spoke about over and over again in the message, for the message is one, being a continuing message of the Holy Bible, the message of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, this evening, I will now ask you a question. Why did God move on after Elijah, if he is not going to move on after Paul? Come on! Why did the Lord move on at all in the light after Elijah, giving us another standard bearer, the second divine blueprint holder for the royal bride, in this Laodicean age, if he would not move on after Paul to give us another standard bearer, the fresh carcass bearer, the eagle food bearer? Answer me. Why did God move on at all? And as a Jackson movement, why did you even follow Brother Jackson in the first place, when the Branham movement rejected him? Was it not because of the fresh light he bore, the fresh revelation of the Holy Scriptures, the fresh carcass of the Word of God, bringing clarity to the message of Elijah, showing the application of the fan? He made the Holy Bible clearer, and he took us deeper into the Word, like no other man could in his junction of time. He gave the universal bright direction and focus, whilst the Branham movement was scattered to the four winds, fighting themselves with quotes. The Branham movement rejected his apostolic leadership to the detriment of their souls, which is precisely why they are still in gross confusion as we speak, groping in darkness, totally deceived and perfectly deluded. Church, what set Raymond Jackson completely apart from Perry Green, Lee Vail, Harold Hildebrandt, Neil Frisby, Joseph Coleman, Ewart Frank, Ed Biscoll, Richard Gunn, Ben Howard, Owen Jorgensen, and all these other men who equally follow the message of Brother Branham? So, I ask the Jackson movement, how come you moved on to follow Brother Jackson, another man, right after Brother Branham passed away? It is the standard of the revelation of the truth of the Holy Bible that he bore, the fresh carcass, giving clarity and depth to the message of Elijah, continuously adding further light, the fresh manner of the Word of Christ. This was precisely what set Raymond Jackson apart from many and every other man in the Branham movement around the globe. He opened up the Holy Bible, dusting it from the book of Genesis, giving fresh nuggets of truth, right through to the book of Revelation. Brother Bobby Stewart, I will remind you of your testimony, which I shared in my message, titled, The Foundation of the Fivefold Ministry, Part 1, preached on Thursday, September the 30th, during the midweek service, right after the Fall Convention in September 2004. It was whilst in the Faith Assembly car park, just before the start of one of the evening services, we were just fellowshipping, talking about the present move of God through Brother Jackson, and you told me, Brother Amos, I've followed Brother Branham, and everyone felt that that was it, but I knew that there had to be something more. There had to be another man, and then the Lord led me to Brother Jackson's ministry. And indeed, there was more, and there is still more. There had to be something more. Why? In this age of a flying eagle anointing, you will never take away the full and unhindered application of Proverbs 4 verse 18. The ever-fresh manna, the living bread, Jesus Christ in His present and continuous divine scriptural revelation, which is the staple meal, and the only meal, ordained for the sustenance of the true eagles of God, the royal bride. And its application demands a divine blueprint holder, for it demands a Joseph, the anointed vessel of truth, the scribe in the storehouse, the lighthouse. John 13, verse 20. Matthew 13, verse 52. Matthew 24, verse 28. Bobby Stewart said, I knew there had to be something more. And then I logged on to Brother Jackson. I said, there it is, there is something more. Church, during the midweek service at Faith Assembly, right after that September convention in 2004, I was privileged to be the one Brother Jackson asked to preach. And when I took my message that evening, I shared with the saints at Faith Assembly the discussion that I had with Bobby Stewart, appreciating the wisdom that ruled his life, which enabled him to follow the continuity like the chief apostle bore. Let me now ask you, Brother Bobby, how come you knew that after our Elijah, God had to move on, and God did move on through our Paul, and now with the death of our Paul, you do not want to know, and neither do you want to accept that there has to be something more, that God still has to move on, giving us a John, particularly because the bride of Jesus Christ is still here. Come on! There was a wisdom that motivated you to say what you said, and to make the move you made, in the junction of time, standing for the continuity of scriptural revelation of the Apostle Paul of our day, which gave direction and focus to the universal bride of Christ, that they may not be like sheep without a shepherd guide. So, I ask you in all sincerity, where is that wisdom? What happened to it? Did the birds of the air peck it away? You cannot afford to throw away that wisdom, or you will pay a price at the end of your journey, and it will be a very great price, because this is not a game. I will ask you now, Brother Bobby, and all the rest of the Jackson movement, how are you going to survive without the fresh carcass of the Word of Christ? Just how are you going to make it walking outside the divine blueprint? How are you going to avoid spiritual death and the famine that has ravaged Laodicea without the fresh carcass for the light? You will just be going around in circles, a circle of death, following a boys' club, having only a religious spirit, lacking true spirituality, lacking life, only having a hope so salvation. Because you will never make the rapture without attaining the revelatory stature of Jesus Christ, both written and unwritten, a spiritual height that is not obtainable without the followership of the light of the bride's apostolic Joshua, the minister of continuity, completion, and precession, the man who eats the entire scroll of redemption, having the revelation fullness of Jesus Christ. Come on! May I remind the entire Jackson movement that it is written in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 to 27. For if we sin willfully, if we commit unbelief willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. We laid out this very grave and absolute truth in our scribe, titled, If We Sin Willfully, in about 2 months' time. Precisely on 4th of December this current year, 2019, it will be exactly 15 years since the chief apostle passed away. Therefore, let me say this to all the men in the Jackson movement. I say this humbly, and I say it sincerely, but very firmly. 15 years is enough time for the fruit of your ministries to have shown what you have for the bride of Jesus Christ. If at all, any of you have the revelatory blueprint, the revelatory plumb line, bearing the fresh nuggets of truth, the fresh manna, which alone can sustain the elect bride. You have had more than enough time to show precisely what is in you. You have had more than enough time to show the universal bride what God has deposited in you. If indeed the Lord is dealing through your ministry for the word bride, the true eagles of God, to make the ever-fresh manna fall under your ministry. Time is a very effective vehicle God uses to prove things, and the fruit of every man's ministry now shows for the true bride to see. I say this humbly and with respect, because we are nothing of ourselves, For as it is written, no man can receive anything unless and except it is given to him from above. John 3 verse 27. And that is precisely why you ought to see something. For you can shut yourselves up inside your little cocoons, close all the blinds, shut out the light, and deceive yourselves into assuming that the sun, the S-O-N, of God, is no longer shining, when all you need to do is simply come out of your little cocoons, and you will realize that the sun, the S-O-N, of God, has never stopped shining. That is why we produced a scribe titled The Sun and the Gospel Movement, because the S-O-N, light of God has never shined so bright. As a matter of scriptural fact, there has never been a day as this day. There has never been a time that shines so bright as this day, this glorious day, right here in this ending junction of time for the Royal Bride of Jesus Christ. So, I have to challenge all the men in the Jackson movement, because you have had enough time to show what is invested in you, if you have anything for the Bride of Christ. Therefore, I address the entire Jackson movement. And I will ask you, in all your camps, where is the fresh manna in your midst? Where are the fresh nuggets of the Holy Bible, for you have scattered to the four winds? Show me just one fresh nugget of truth that any of you have been used by the Spirit of Christ to unveil to the Royal Bride of Christ since January 2005. And as we all know, the revealed truth of Jesus Christ is not for the closet, it is for the spiritual consumption of the universal Bride of Christ. That is a Bible challenge, which if thrown to me, I will take up the gauntlet, by the grace of God, for we are not here playing a game of hide and seek, fooling the children of God, and neither is this a game of dominoes. Since, you have to see that this scribe message is being sent as a means of deliverance for God's elect seeds out there, who are still bound in the Jackson movement. As a true watchman, who is expected to be faithful, it is my divine responsibility to expose the Jackson movement for their gross unbelief of the Word of God, and to also show the end of this movement, and warn the children of light by it. It keeps my hands free of every man's blood in the Jackson movement. Brothers and sisters, I will not ask or challenge James Allen to show me the fresh nugget of truth he has borne, as all he has to spread the plagues of death, because all he knows to do is to pour feces on the continuity message of the truth of Jesus Christ, which Brother Jackson was anointed to carry for the bride from the Holy Scriptures. So, James Allen, in your case, I am not going to ask you anything, because we can all see your river fruits, for they abound enormously, and are most glaring, even to the blind. As an instrument in the hands of the spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit of Lucifer, you are being used consistently and continuously to demolish every attempt of truth that faithful man of God, that faithful soldier of Jesus Christ, Raymond Jackson, was used of the spirit of truth to set in place for the universal Bride of Christ. Every stone of truth, every ancient landmark, truths which, in this third junction of time, constitute old truths, have been torn down by you. Whereas, and as it is infallibly written in Matthew chapter 13, verse 52, every scribe, apostolic scribe, which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder. The principal scribe, Elijah, William Branham, which bringeth forth out of his treasure, of the Holy Bible, things, revelations, new and old, you have no new truths, except downright mirror on truths. And you are seriously desecrating, twisting, overturning, and removing even the old truths that the chief apostle brought out from the treasure store of the Holy Bible. Yet, we are honestly warned in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 28, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers, our apostolic fathers, have set in place for the bride. You have employed the tactics of the spirit of the Antichrist, which is fair tactics, to silence every opposition and or dissension, anyone disagreeing with you on any matter or teaching, and you have made men conform to your whims and caprices. You shut their mouths by threatening that they would be set down, that you will set down any man in the ministry that would dare to disagree with you on what you deem as truth, however ridiculous and downright stupid your opposition on a matter is, an authority that even the chief apostle did not claim to have. You do not understand that you can only separate from men, but you cannot set any man down from the ministry, except a man who is your assistant pastor, or the man you called and installed in the ministry, if any. For only God reserves that prerogative. Together with your partner, Bob Thompson, you terrorized the children of God to total submission, and took away their liberty, and by the evil use of the internet platform you inherited, you turned yourselves into pharaohs, lords over God's heritage, rather than being ensamples to the flock. 1 Peter 5 verse 3. You lied blatantly against men, falsely accusing them of wrongdoings, just to discredit them, exactly as you did to me, raising up false witnesses, making men deny the truth, desecrating the pulpit the chief apostle left behind with lies and mudslinging, and you threatened the children of God not to search the contenders of the chief apostle on the third day garbage you peddle, or on any issue of truth that you have trampled on. Even Lewis Turner, who, for decades, was the editor of Brother Jackson's Contender magazine, joined your evil bandwagon, lambasting the children of God for daring to search the contenders over your most warped and twisted third-day teaching. He lambasted them for daring to act like the Berean Christians by sincerely seeking to know the truth. Acts 17, verses 10 to 12. They were not even to discuss issues of truth with one another in private, when the Lord expects them to do just that. My Lord Master, Jesus Christ, said in John chapter 15, verses 18 to 21, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So, I quite understand the extreme hatred that you in the Jackson movement have for me, when I'm really nothing. It is the truth of the Word of God that you really hate, which is why, like the Roman Catholic Church, your hatred is directed at the vessel of truth. Brother Khalil Shaffers of South Africa, who buys the audio tapes of the chief apostle, accidentally sent an email for me to Dan Bata, who has been in charge for decades of the public address systems, as well as the audio recordings at Faith Assembly. When Dan Bata got this email, he wrote Brother Kali to tell him that he would not be sending anything to him anymore, because he's associated with me, even when the poor brother was paying for the tapes, as they were not being sent to him for free. Yet, the children of Brother Branham have the wisdom enough to send the sermon books to whosoever requests for them, regardless of their stand or beliefs, knowing that God will use it to serve his greater purpose. Moreover, you will think that I was standing in opposition to the ministry of Brother Jackson. It is as if because I firmly reject and denounce the errors of James Allen, that I am not standing for the continuity message of the chief apostle Paul. However, as far as Dan Bata is concerned, I am the one perverting the message of Brother Jackson, and not James Allen. A very laughable allegation. To think that that man sat live under the chief apostle, and recorded his messages for decades, and heard absolutely nothing. Which is precisely why he also learned no manners or decency from the exemplary life of the chief apostle. He said in his email dated April the 8th, 2013, which I will only quote in material parts, and please note that all emphasis is mine, Kali. You are taking the truth that Brother Jackson brought and mixing it with the Masero. Would a true apostle lie? Then why does Amy tell lies about Brother Allen and Brother Bob Thompson? I would not go to hell if I sent you tapes, but I do not think it is the right thing to do, as you are mixed up with Amos. I cannot put anybody into heaven or take him out. It is up to each individual to work out his own salvation. I know Amos. We have had lunch with him and his wife. He did defend Brother Jackson, but he got carried away and started to lift him up more than he should have. Just because I show that he is the Apostle Paul of today, the standard bearer. Oh my! Dan Bata continued, saying about me, I have read his books and have thrown them out. Brother Allen is the one that the Lord chose to carry on after Brother Jackson. Brother Allen is building on what Brother Branham and Brother Jackson brought his brother, Allen, and brother, Thompson, who have the message for this present end time. Oh my! Even in April 2013, Dan Butter was still projecting an apostate two-man standard-bearing committee. Saints of God, you have to see the war of the two spirits, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Open your eyes and understand what you are facing, what this is all about, and stop seeing personalities, for truth is in conflict. These men at Faith Assembly are an incredible people, and I say this because it is as clear as day that they are ruled by the same spirit that is behind organized religion. They are ruled by the same spirit that controls the Church of Rome. James Allen, both yourself and Bob Thompson, have turned the offices of Faith Assembly into Jesuit priests. Poor brother Kali was very downcast by this development, and when he informed me of it, I told him what amounts precisely to this, on the full and infallible authority of Matthew 13, verse 52, and because the spirit of truth is here, there is no biblical truth of the chief apostle we will not possess and carry in this ending move of God for the bride of Jesus Christ. They can keep all the tapes and contenders of the chief apostle, for all I care. One thing is certain, knowing that our brother Jackson he had solely by the spirit of truth who inspired him, and also knowing that the same spirit of truth is here, for the spirit of God is one. Therefore, we must all know that the spirit of truth will give us in this third and final move all that he gave the bride of Christ through the chief apostle, leaving none out, for the full adornment of the royal bride. Thus seeth the spirit of the Lord, as recorded in Matthew 13, verse 52. Regarding all old truths, Faith Assembly has been completely taken over by the spirit of the Antichrist. That is why they are overturning and burying the truth, for they are extremely militant, not for the truth, mark you, but they are militant for the error that is inspired by the spirit of the Antichrist. Someone has to wake up. Somebody, please open your eyes. Just like Mike Hefner, who asked his church members to trash, bin, my publications, and shun it like a plague. You, James Allen, have also successfully scared your church members from ever touching or reading my publications, but to consider it a plague of death, heresy, all because you know that their eyes will be open to the truth, and your nakedness will be revealed. Because today, in this last move, truth has a crystal clear tone to it, disallowing confusion on any issue of the word. And whilst you desperately scare your followers from touching anything that has my name, in total contrast, I challenge my brethren and dare them to read your publications if they can understand a word of what you are saying. I can do that because by the grace of God, I have established and secured them solidly in the truth, which is the only true way to keep God's children, for their security is in knowing the truth. John 8 verse 32. The denominational organized world scared their people away from the sermon books of William Branham, and they shun it like a plague. The Branham movement scared their people away from the content of magazines of Raymond Jackson, and they also shun it like a plague. Now, in the Jackson movement, you scare your people away from the scribes, which they equally shun like a plague. For it is the same demon inspiring this consistent and unrelenting hatred against God's anointed vessels of truth, the three scribes. Like Pharaoh, you have to use scare tactics because you have absolutely nothing for the bride of Jesus Christ, and it is scripturally certain that you can only fool those who are not interested in the truth, those who are not grounded in the continuing message of Jesus Christ of the Holy Scriptures, those who are non-seed. That is precisely why you, James Allen, terrorized them not to search the content or messages of Brother Jackson on issues of truth. They are not even allowed to fellowship with one another after church services, or even talk on the phone about the reality they face under your ministry on issues of faith. What do you know or even care about the provisions in Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 to 18, where the Lord declared, "Them that fear the Lord speak often one to another, not during the church services, but after church services, testifying of the marvelous truths they have received and encouraging one another to stand firmly, faithfully, and unwaveringly for this revealed way. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord and that thought upon his name, them that thought upon his revelation. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall he return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Amen and amen. It was just a few months after your carnal judgment of January 2005 that Brother Victor Cole Showers, Brother Ball Amobo, and myself logged on in Brother Bola's house to one of your evening services at Faith Assembly, when a white sister unexpectedly stood up in the congregation to give a testimony. We could not recognize this sister, but it was a shocking and unpalatable testimony for you in bottoms in the day, one that you did not see coming. She said something to this effect, for her testimony amounts precisely to this: I do not understand all the bashing of many brothers are doing, but when Brother Jackson and Brother Amos preach, they make us understand the Bible. They make the Word of God plain. And immediately, the internet platform was shut down that night. May God bless the gallant soul, because everyone cannot be afraid of men, who are mere mortals. And I am certainly not afraid of any of you, because as it is written, all flesh is grass. Isaiah 40 verse 6. As Brother Jackson often stated, you don't tie my shoes, you don't butter my bread. But I will add, even if you butter my bread, you can take away your butter if you do not like my stand, because I know for certain, just as Mordecai warned Esther in the book of Esther chapter 4, verse 14, plainly declaring, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, because God will most certainly raise another help, a worthier help, to support the cause of the royal bride, in this ending move of redemption. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Exactly. James Allen, you should not have intruded into the apostolic office of Raymond Jackson. You should even know that you cannot preach, because you just cannot hold a Bible thought for 2 minutes, walking in a straight line, and making sense. Even if your life depended on it, what you do amounts to you endlessly rambling on and on, taking the people on an ever meaninglessly cycle around the globe, which is no fault of your own, for the ability to preach comes only from God, a necessary ability for anyone who wants to preach to the true bride of Christ. This reminds me of the words of Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, where he declared, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. But your inordinate ambition to lead the universal bride is what pushed you to intrude into that apostolic office. As if any man can just wake up one morning and become that, simply because he wants it, when it is clearly written in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 4, and no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. James Allen, Ewan Bottomson sat on the platform in February 2003. When Brother Jackson preached the message, titled, Looking at Time, O Scribe Look Out, Part 2, and in that message, the chief apostle talked about seven dreams he had received from seven different brethren, living in seven different localities, all of which synchronized in their thought projection. This made the chief apostle say this, the time has come, and we're entering into it. And I'll say, the first thing he's going to shake is the ministry. He's going to shake it to the very foundation of our toes. We're going to prove that we're a unity, and we're walking hand in hand for the bride of Christ, and not for our person. For as it is written in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, in the ministry, in this hour of the shaking of all things, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Now this great shaking came to the Jackson movement with the sudden and unexpected death of the chief apostle, for with this master stroke, the Lord unearthed the secret ambitions that James Allen and Bob Thompson held for the decades of their sitting under Brother Jackson, with seemingly pious faces, and general personas, great pretentiousness, sanctimonious appearances, hiding a highly corrosive and lethal evil minds. That was why the two men could not even wait for the chief apostle to be buried before launching their godless ambition. I was there, and I was very disappointed and appalled. They had to use a poor man's burial service to launch their apostating strange, two-man standard-bearing committee ministry, even sharing some titles, messages, in the same church service. James Allen, all you wanted was Brother Jackson's apostolic ministry, which was extremely way too big for you, as you lack the divine ability to preach, let alone preach effectively, and let alone bear a perfect divine scriptural understanding of anything, in order to be an apostle. And despite your acute lack, despite the fact that a gift of God, the ability to carry a thought consistently and meaningfully, is clearly lacking in your ministry, in spite of this very obvious and serious ministerial handicap, with the death of Brother Jackson, it was not enough for you simply to take over as the pastor of Faith Assembly and mind your local assembly, but you had to take over the office, as well as the content medium, of the chief apostle, opening up your posterior to the world, unashamedly. Sir, you have done a very good job for the devil. That is precisely why you have the audacity, a godless audacity, a satanic audacity, to take over the medium of truth which the Lord designed solely and exclusively for the chief apostle, to carry his continuity Bible message, to carry your highly erroneous and contrary teachings, your absurd, antichrist teachings, which completely overturned the solid scriptural teachings of Brother Jackson. My earnest and sincere prayer for you is this: may God spare your life long enough to see the coming glory of the bride. And I offer this prayer on account of the great evil you have done, and continue to do, to the truth of Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, which Brother Jackson plainly laid out in your very presence from the Holy Scriptures, for the 36 years that you sat under him. And to think that in 2005, you in Bottomson prided yourselves with having sat the longest under Brother Jackson, and yet, neither of you have been faithful to the truth of the Holy Scriptures that he bore for the universal bride, the truth of Jesus Christ that was his legacy. You refuse to understand that it is not about who sat the longest under the chief apostle, or even about who was the closest to him, but it is about faithfulness to the revealed word of Jesus Christ that he bore. I sat under Brother Jackson's chief apostolic ministry for only 13 years, but it is interesting to know that that is the very same number of years Brother Jackson sat under Brother Branham. You just cannot accept the fact that the will of God, the Lord's sovereign choice, and his grace, is what makes the difference, and that it is what prevails, because you are completely blinded and consumed by your own bridle and godless ambition. In his message, titled, The Seals, Part 1, which I have taken directly from the video message, Brother Jackson warned, and just how prophetic his warning is, for he said, no, it's in the second chapter of 1 John, in 90 AD, this Antichrist spirit, no, it did not come off of the king's throne. It did not come out of the, we will say, the legislature, leadership qualities. It came right out of the very ranks of the supposed to be believer themselves. That goes to prove, brothers and sisters, that on the, without a shadow of a doubt, the Antichrist spirit, it could use anybody it wants to, if they would just give their minds and thoughts to it. And I have to say, that spirit is definitely going to make that person think, I can make you be recognized. You've got the ability to have a revelation that others don't have. And out comes the erroneous third-day teaching. He can pop a lot of stuff into their minds, and down the road they go. But they'll say, but the spirit has revealed to me. It was not the spirit of God at all, it was the spirit of Satan. It sounds good, but if you don't know enough about the scriptures yourself, then you're gonna listen to it. Well, it could be. You know, I've known Brother so-and-so so long, I can't see him as a deceiver. So, we look at these kinds of things and we begin to comment. Well, I've known him for 40 years. I've never seen him be wrong in anything yet. Well, maybe in carpentry, he's not. And carpentry is the earthly vocation of James Allen and Bob Thompson. Maybe in farming, he's not. But when it comes, brothers and sisters, in that of being a believer and handling the gospel message, there's where the devil uses him. And if we don't know enough about it ourselves, then brothers and sisters, we are a good candidate to be deceived, misled, because we want to give him respect and so we want to honor him. But brothers and sisters, if we don't have the deep indwelling of the Holy Spirit ourselves, we can be a subject absolutely to be brainwashed, led astray. And that's exactly what went on in Paul's day. And let me finish reading this here. Little children, it is the last time. Now what was he talking about? Yes, the way it was appearing, yes, it had the appearance of these last days that we are living in. As ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are the many, plural, Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now think, brothers and sisters, this was all written back in the first century of Christendom. But these words carry right straight through to our day. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. Please note that Apostle John could say that, because he bore the standard, as such, to separate from him, on account of the standard of the truth of Jesus Christ that he bore for the universal bride, in that first age of Christendom, prove that you are non-seed. The epistle of 1 John 4 verse 6 reinforces this fact. In total contrast, however, for James Allen and Bob Thompson to use this very statement of Apostle John recorded in 1 John 2 verse 19, against those who left faith assembly on account of their blatant intrusion into the chief apostle's office, would be twisting the application of this verse of scripture. It would most certainly be a completely false application, because with the two apostles at faith assembly having usurped apostolic authority, it became necessary for all the elect seeds of God to take their exit from faith assembly. It did, and still does. Therefore, the declaration of Apostle John here in verse 19 cannot be employed or used by the present day minister of faith assembly, simply because the reverse is now what applies. Consequently, if you are of God, and if you value your souls, you will most certainly run for your dear lives. Brother Jackson continued about these little antichrists, who were separated away from the saints, saying, in other words, something come along and put a revelation in their minds, and they begin to think, look, I got a deep revelation of something than you have, and I'll just wait till the day that I can break this news to you. And then if you don't know where you stand, if you don't know how to look at what you've been hearing, then 9 times out of 10, because you've always had a love for Brother Jackson, meaning in true application of the reality we now face, a love for James Allen and Bob Thompson. Well, you know, I've never seen him wrong yet. Now I say that as an illustration, because if I use anybody else, then you would condemn me. But I'll have to say, brothers and sisters, the day has come and the hour has come. You've got to be able to know in your own mind what you're hearing and whether it's truth or not. And you cannot absolutely open up your heart and mind. But it sounds good, it could be, you know. Well, if you don't have a deep revelation yourself, brothers and sisters, you can be traded off for most anything. And that's what went on back in the day of time. That's why it was portrayed as this white horse rider. He definitely came with an objective. He came with an aim. It was not to deceive kings and magistrates and an army, but it's to deceive you. He's a bluff. So, if he's a bluff, brothers and sisters, it's because he thinks he knows more about the scriptures and about the revelation than you do. And so he can use a tactic, brothers and sisters, and by the time he's got through explaining his revelation, and if you don't know yourself the revelation of truth, how to relate to it, then 9 times out of 10. Well, you know I believe old brother George is right, because I've never seen him wrong in anything else. And here you go. And that's exactly the way we see Christendom today. They're going down the road, callowed. I'm going to hear this, I'm going to hear that. I'm not saying these things tonight, brothers and sisters, that you're not to go and visit and hear people. But if you don't know what you're going to hear, and how to look at it, you are a sitting duck on a barbed wire fence, and brothers, there's somebody got their sights set right on your soul. Cause if you don't know how to look back at the thing, brothers and sisters, 9 times out of 10, you will accept it on the merits of the personality of the person, rather than knowing how to acquaint what you already know with what you're hearing. And that's why I say, brothers and sisters, in this day and hour we live in, please for goodness sakes, get your feet on solid ground. Know what you believe. Know why you believe it. And don't believe it with reservation. Well, you know it's possible there's other things out there I can believe. Brothers and sisters, there's enough of Satan out there in carnal minds that's looking for glory. All they're waiting for is to use you. Because if they can get you, it makes them feel good. See, I got another convert. So that's why John could write like this. They went out from us, they were not. In other words, spiritually speaking, they really weren't of us. They sat there in our midst, but they had another frame of thought, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, in other words, if they had the same revelation, and they were solid with it, determined to let nothing deceive them by any means whatsoever, they would have listened. I know what you're up to. I see your little game. Go on down the road, Ben. But I wouldn't follow you 5 feet. So, you can't. And let me say tonight, you've got to get to the day where you know what you do believe in. And when you get to the place, brothers and sisters, that you would just lay it aside, just because you wanna go hear somebody with a nice spirit, a nice personality, such as Tim McKay and Rolf Strawman. What in the name of common sense are you trading yourself around like this? I'm going to use this, brothers and sisters, as a figure of speech. If I was that nonchalant, I would rather go to a ball game than to hear some preacher beat his gums together about a revelation and how wonderful it is, and yet you don't know a bit more about it than the man in the moon does. I have to say, the day has come, and it's here. Brothers and sisters, please for goodness sakes, know what you believe, and then know why you believe it. And then purpose in your heart. You're not gonna let nobody this side of heaven take that out of your soul, cause that's what you're gonna stand for, because it's the entrance, it's the gateway to everlasting life. So, I have to say tonight, we'll be back. I pray the next service, on the second seal. Brother Jackson now prayed, saying, Heavenly Father, may you take these words tonight, and use them as you see fit. But God, help every one of us as a mortal person we are. Help us to have an understanding, because Lord, we're living in an hour when Lord, we know that you're gonna perfect a people that now are that part of the living generation. And Lord, you are gonna stabilize them. You are gonna perfect them in what they see and believe. They're gonna know why they believe it, because they see that it's the absolute of the truth of thy word. And Lord, may we grow and progress in the revelation of the truth and in the fruits of your spirit. And Lord, I pray, help me as a servant to be able to say the right things the right way, to edify your people, to encourage them, to admonish them, and that they can see you, and that they can give all the honor and praise to you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray now. Amen. Again, in its contender, titled, The Seals, Part 2, under the subtitle, What the Apostle Paul Taught, Brother Jackson also declared, those particular congregations had been invaded by an antichrist spirit that had been bringing an anti-true revelation to them, trying to disrupt them from following the truth. That is why so much of it is about meats, Sabbath days, new moons, this and that, always something of the law. Paul's last testimony of the law was that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to him that believeth. Go with me now and we will look at the 20th chapter of Acts. Verse 27. Paul was on his way back to Jerusalem, after having been through Asia and different places. He had come to the place where he was calling the elders of the various churches, wanting to counsel with them. I am starting in the 27th verse, to save time, but you can go back and read what built up to this point. I just want to drive this point home to all of you, because you still have the same condition today. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Notice how Paul says this so firmly. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Who are the grievous wolves he's referring to here? Are they a bunch of bank-robbing bandits on the loose? Are they fellows who have had too much to drink? No, they are these preachers who have been anointed by an antichrist spirit, coming along with their very own version of the Word of God, instead of a pure revelation by the Spirit of God. They always have a new revelation. Oh, it is so thrilling to listen to the man preach. I have to use these illustrations because of how many times through the years we have heard said, "Oh, I like the way he preaches," or "I like the way he says things," and he has such a pleasing tone to his voice. Well, there is nothing wrong in saying that, but have you really heard what was said? I caution you. Remember, brothers and sisters, you are human beings just like I am, and there were different people from various places that heard Brother William Branham through the years. But I ask you, how did those who heard him come out with so many different ideas about him and his ministry? They did not all hear it the same way. Likewise, when you go back 2,000 years, you'll find that there were different elements of people that did not all hear what was preached exactly the same. Many of them got a different picture of the things being preached and taught, and they wanted to be known for what their revelation was. So here they came with it. They came into the different congregations so enthused, "Oh, I am so anointed." Well, you everyone know what came next. It was always confusion and squabbling in those assemblies after such visits. This is exactly what Paul could write in 1 Timothy 4 verses 1 to 2. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." And that is why John could write, "Even now there are many antichrists." Let us go on and read some more from this 20th chapter of Acts. Verse 30, we find Paul saying, "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember, that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn every one night and day with tears." Yes, Faith Assembly, be assured, that can happen right in here, especially if we are not listening to the things that are presented to us the right way, and with the right attitude and motive. And may I add, it has happened right there at Faith Assembly. Thanks to James Allen and Bob Thompson, for we are now facing the evil reality of it. In a further video message dated December 22, 2002, titled "The Watchman, Part 4, Brother Jackson gave this testimony, saying, "As I look back, it was probably some 3 weeks beforehand that I would receive this letter from this man. Don't even live in this area." And when I read the letter, he said he was in Faith Assembly. There was a large gathering, and then he heard these words, "But the time has come that judgment shall begin at the house of God." That made me think from then on, and as things begin to develop, I begin to feel like, "Lord, somewhere in front of me, I'm going to have to say something, but how will I say it? What will I do?" Well, conditions began to mount up, and brothers and sisters, we come to the first service. I was all broke up inside. I didn't know what I'd even get through to not. That's why I cry so. So it's just not because when you get old, you get sentimental. I didn't want to say something to hurt people, 'cause it's not my blood that bought anybody. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. And I don't want to say anything that hurts them, 'cause he bought them. But little did I realize after that first morning service, Brother Greg Paisley came to me and told me his wife had had the same dream. So after that particular 2 weeks was over, I told her, I said, "Write it and send it to me." And when I read it, keep in mind, I didn't read the first letter. I only referred to the first letter. But when I read hers, I could hold the two up. It was almost word for word. And she'd had it about 3.5 years in the rough beforehand. But again, the words were said, "The time has come that judgment shall begin at the house of God." So brothers and sisters, as I look back and see how the Holy Ghost used men, even the minor officers, in the Ephesian ministry, and how those minor men, they function precisely the way they are instructed, not only by the apostles, but how the Holy Spirit used them. They were not young men running the road of life, looking for a name for themselves. They were ready to be used by God and go and leave a testimony, confirming it was not their revelation, it was the apostles' revelation, what to tell these people. But they went there, backing it up and the Holy Ghost speaking through them, using them to confirm it, as it happened in Acts 15, verses 22 to 32. Brothers and sisters, by the time we have come then to the second service, which is on the second Sunday, a brother from Georgia has came. He's given me a dream. It's actually two dreams, but the last one he saw himself look like in Faith Assembly. A big gathering, lot of preachers, and if I mention names tonight, brothers and sisters, you'd be hurt. But there was preachers on the platform that was doing something behind my back. They were not in agreement with me. The day will come when you know about it. And now we all know about it, for the Spirit of God has used the events of 2005 to show them out. And we can all clearly see that James Allen and Bodith Onspen never ever truly believed Brother Jackson's continuity message. Otherwise, they would not be peddling the untruths that they are peddling today, overturning every truth Brother Jackson ever laid down from the Holy Scriptures. Consequently, although it is extremely sad, nevertheless, this prophetic dream is now fulfilled reality before our eyes. And may I say this to James Allen, you and Bob Thompson, just like Korah in number 16, verses 8 to 11, are there men who sat on the platform of the chief apostle with gross unbelief in your hearts, motivated by the idols of the secret ambition you harbored in your hearts, which totally blinded your eyes, just as it happened in the wilderness under the ministry of Moses? That is precisely why you have now overturned every iota of truth that the chief apostle was used by the Holy Spirit to unveil to the bride of Jesus Christ. You give yourselves over to the devil to do great havoc to the continuity message of Brother Jackson, and you let many men in the ministry around the globe to go along with you in accomplishing your evil agenda in January 2005, and by so doing, you created a great irreparable crack in the Jackson movement, which was then completely shattered in 2008. Indeed, judgment has begun in the house of God, and it began with the very men who for years had sat on the platform of the chief apostle, men who stood firmly for an unrevelated and apostate leadership in January 2005, men like Russell Davies, Dave Godvender, Mike Hefner, Benjamin Board, and a great host of you, only to fall out with the same ministry later, proving that you lack true vision, true divine revelation, which is an immovable anchor. May I say this to help the babes in the faith, and I'm referring specifically and exclusively to the spiritually mature elect seeds of God, for we should not be faint-hearted. Exactly what do you think Apostle Paul meant when he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 32, "If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus"? Come on! He was referring to the Antichrist men in the ministry, who were blatantly opposing and overturning the faith, presenting themselves as angels of light, but who were only false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. 2 Corinthians 11 verses 13 to 15. Brothers and sisters, you cannot be faint-hearted, you cannot despair, for as long as the two seeds are still together, there will always be conflict of faith, and someone has to stand in defense of truth, the revealed word of Christ. In the contender message he preached in 2004, titled "The Body of Christ, Part 3, the chief apostle warned, "Then one day as he, Martin Luther, was climbing the steps to humble himself, humiliating himself, climbing to the second floor to kiss the foot of a statue that had been kissed until it was almost worn away by thousands and thousands of others before him, Martin Luther, there in that position, received inspiration, but one lone man. What can one lone man do? How history just keeps repeating itself. Because people always only see a lone man, and they never look at truth, and neither do they ever consider the awesome and infinite power of the God of truth. They never see that God walks in simplicity, and that his ways are always humble. Which is precisely why the greatest move of redemption of all, and the exclusive means for redemption, or redemption, was produced in a barn, a stable. The very simple, extremely lowly, most humbling, and utterly stumbling ways of God, the chief apostle continued, saying, "This is the way God ordained it to come about." All of a sudden an audible voice said, "Martin Luther, the just shall live by faith." What a small message, but what a powerful message when the little man took it and proclaimed it. It turned Europe upside down. I believe the time has come that the message which was brought by Brother William Branham, which has laid here and been abused by many, should be proclaimed loud and clear by all who have a true revelation of it. That would be those who are in the unity of the Spirit and the unity of the faith, which is strictly the apostolic faith of Jesus Christ, because all else are accursed. Hence, Brother Jackson added, declaring categorically, no others are able to fulfill that ministry. I believe the hour has come that if we can hear the Spirit of God, He will say to everyone, the hour has come that unity must prevail. Yes, that hour has come and it is here. Now listen closely to this and take instruction and be wise. I know there are ministers that are hearing my voice, and I know that some will oppose it because it is going to bring about what? Broken fellowship that they cherish more than the truth. You get the point. Because people love fellowship more than truth. People love friendship more than Christ. The chief apostle continued his warning, saying, it will bring about broken fellowship in homes, because not everyone in every home are believers. Nobody wants to do that, but the word of God will do it. Because your love for truth will force you to make a decision. It will force you to make a stand. I certainly do not want to set anybody's son or daughter against dad and mother, but I will say to every one of you, you are no more exempt from that than I was when God began to deal with me back then in the 1950s. And I had to make a choice as to whether I would follow the Spirit of God or just follow fleshly desires. When God put that hunger in my heart and I came to the knowledge of what a little man that lived here in this area was preaching, I determined to follow the truth He was used of God to reveal. He was right in the area where I had been raised up, and I did not know anything about him. But when I first saw and heard that little man preach, something began to ring a bell inside me. I loved my family, my dad and mother, but that man had something real, and I wanted it. It would probably cost me in having to leave the Methodist Church, but whatever the cost, I wanted what he had, and every elect seed of God ordained as bride, ordained for eternal glory, will pay the price of truth. And the cost is a stand, a total separation unto the truth of Jesus Christ. And you will pay this price. If you can see truth, and if you truly value the eternal redemption that Christ offers, and if you can also see the outrival, the ministry of faith assembly have given themselves over to perpetuate, all because of an inordinate ambition they will never give to God. This reminds me of two dreams the Lord gave a Norwegian sister, a perfect prophetic projection of what was to take place at Faith Assembly, following the death of the chief apostle. Sister Anster Frenshaw had the first dream on Monday, June the 24th, 1996, at Faith Assembly, in Jeffersonville. The dream was emailed to me from Norway in December 2004, shortly after the burial of Brother Jackson, and it goes thus. I wake up at 5 a.m. in the morning. Someone stood by my bedside. I was not sure of whom it was, but he took my hand and started leading me towards a dark and mystical, spooky forest. He asked me if I would like to see something very special. I was afraid, but I said yes. Then we went into a big cave, and I felt that I went back to sleep again. Then I came into a dream. I was in the church in the fellowship hall, at Faith Assembly, in the room we had up at the second floor. My attention was drawn to some ugly faces, looking at me from outside the window, from my bedroom. It looked like people covering themselves with some very ugly Halloween masks. They tried to get in through the window. I was afraid, and I ran into another room, but the same faces were also outside these windows, trying to get inside. I looked around and noticed that the church and the fellowship hall were merged into one big building. I could see these ugly beings looking in through all the windows in the building. I went to one of the windows and looked out, and on the outside I could see thousands of these evil spirits. That is what they appeared to be to me. There were enormous multitudes of them surrounding the building. They had set up ladders towards all the windows in the building, and they were standing in line to try to get inside. One of them had been able to lift up one of the windows so much that one arm was able to get inside. And through the window came an arm with fingers and nails more like claws, and started to scratch around the window opening. There were many people in the building, and one of them was able to force the arm outside, so that the spirit had to give up its territory, and he shut the window. Many people were afraid, and some of them cried, "Call the police." Then one answered, "I think it was Paul Ellis. No, it's no use. The police can do nothing against these evil spirits." I looked outside again, and now I got real scared. These evil beings had started to tear down the wooden paneling of the building. But when they had torn down everything, a dark wall appeared around the building. It looked much like into a brick wall, and it was totally impossible for these evil spirits to get through this wall. Because of the invincible standard of truth Brother Jackson bore in the day. Then I heard Brother Rolf Stroman cry out, "Stay inside this wall, stay inside this wall. Gather your children in the midst of the building, as far away from the windows as possible. Shelter them as much as possible." In one of the rooms I heard someone start to sing, very soft and low at the beginning. Then the song got louder and louder, and then we all started praising the Lord. I looked around again. The windows were still covered by these evil beings, but none of them were able to get inside. Then I woke up. End of dream. The same sister had her second dream exactly a week later, on Monday, July the 1st, 1996, also at Faith Assembly, and it goes thus. In my dream we were in a church, the church in Bloomington, Indiana, which had Tim McKay as its assistant pastor in the day. Rolf Stroman stood behind the pulpit and was preaching the Word of God. But the pulpit stand was the same one that is standing at Faith Assembly, Jeffersonville, Indiana. Ariel Stroman was recording the sermon on audio tape cassette, but the cassette recorder and the table the recorder laid on was the same we have in the church at Verdal, Norway. A lot of people were gathered together. Then I started hearing some terrible noises. I heard someone screaming and making an awful sound outside the church building. Then I saw long tall necks and long tongues that were licking and crawling around the building, and big wide open mouths speaking horrible things. Outside the building they were screaming and carrying on like wild animals, and sounded like they were demon possessed. I am glad I have never heard a screaming and such a horrible sound before. I could see how these slimy horrible long tongues found their way and went in through the mouth of the people standing around. They were on the outside. I understood that evil spirits possessed these people. Brother Rolf was ordered to keep still, to shut up, and not to speak anymore. His voice got lower, but he never left the pulpit. Ariel was commanded to turn off the cassette recorder, and all the rest of us got silent. We covered ourselves with carpets or blankets. We tried to hide ourselves. Only our eyes and ear were visible. Some lay down on the floor, and the terrible sound from the evil spirits around the building would not cease or stop. Then a woman stood up and prophesied. She looked just like me. She had my white blouse on her and my dark blue skirt. Her hair was gathered up behind, but I was sitting there under this blanket and was looking at her, so it could not be me. But in the dream I was thinking that she looked just like me. She said in the prophecy, "A week ago I showed what these terrible evil spirits look like. I had this other dream exactly a week ago. Now, today I have showed you the sound of their voices. You have seen what they could do with the madness of their voices. Now I will show you some other effects of their deeds. You will now see things that they do, what they can cause on other people's lives." Then I became a witness to many diverse accidents and disasters. I saw people that I know very well from both the USA and Norway. I will not give any names. They were involved in great accidents, also car accidents. They survived, but the ones that were together with them, rather not involved in the truth, but staying around, or people in the other cars that were involved in these accidents, looked like they were dead. I saw many people that had to be shown loose from their cars, because they were jammed in them. I also saw other people I know that were standing on the outside. They were only a witness to the diverse accidents. I cannot say with assurance that all the dead were the ones that stood outside the church or did not belong to the church, but the thoughts in my dream sounded like that. I remember saying to myself, thank God that everything went well with him and her. Then I had a warning. I don't know for real where it came from or who it was that uttered the warning, but the voice spoke clear and distinct to these words, use wisdom. Never cross the borderline of what is good and acceptable in the spirit. Don't think that you can do whatever you want to do and still have God with you if you cross over that borderline. Be careful. Walk softly before the Lord. Pay close attention to all the warnings that are coming. End of dream. I wake up at 8 a.m. in the morning. Brothers and sisters, as it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Since, I will relate another dream which ties in beautifully with the dreams of this Norwegian sister. Brother Greer and Sister Priscilla Milton, who are African Americans, wanted to move from Georgia to Jeffersonville, Indiana. Because of the chief apostle's ministry, as they faithfully follow the continuity message he bore for the bride, and are still faithfully following Jesus Christ in his present and continued revelation of the Holy Scriptures. Hence, sometime in 2003, Brother Gray traveled down to Jeffersonville to see Brother Jackson to inform him of their decision that they were planning to move down there, adding, however, that they were still praying about it and will look into God for leadership. Then sometime in 2004, the Lord gave Brother Gray this dream, which made them change their minds about relocating to Indiana. He phoned Brother Jackson to inform him that they had changed their minds, but he did not let him know the reason. His dream goes thus. Brother Jackson was at the pulpit and I was standing next to him. Brother Jackson was getting ready to speak, but the congregation was out of order. They were running between the pews, up and down the aisles, talking very loudly and laughing. I was surprised by their actions, knowing something was wrong. It was as if they had been taken over by another spirit. Brother Jackson pleaded with them to come to order, but the more he pleaded, the worse they got. I felt like there was a presence there that wasn't godly. I knew Brother Jackson's stand, so I knew it wasn't him. The more Brother Jackson pleaded, the worse they got. When I woke up, I said, oh my God, something is going to happen. We can't move to Jeffersonville. And that evil something is now on a faith assembly, in full force, for demons, the spirit of the Antichrist, the opposer of all truth, has most certainly taken over their church. Again, let me ask the Jackson movement, where is the ever-brightening of the pathway of the true bride, the continuing unveiling of the Holy Scriptures, in your midst? If you're not reprobate-minded, surely you must see that the absence of this essential ingredient of life, the ever-fresh bread of life, is solid and irrefutable scriptural evidence that you have all derailed from the true way, the revealed way, the path of the truly justified elect bride. For as it is written, but the path of the just is as a shining light, that shineth more and more, getting ever brighter with the continuous unveiling of the Holy Scriptures, unto the perfect day of our translation to heaven, which is our Canaan land. Hence, if you're not having this divine reality in your camp, you are most certainly not walking with Jesus Christ. You are simply deceived, walking under a great spirit of delusion. So, this brings us back to our initial question, the central question, for we must then ask, when and how did this derailment happen? It happened precisely in January 2005, when James Allen and Bob Thompson usurped the apostolic office of the chief apostle, overturning the only means the Lord provided for fresh men to continue to fall for the true bride elects, following the death of the chief apostle. The fact is, brothers and sisters, the majority of people following the message have never really known just how to look at things, spiritual issues, because they find it hard to recognize a conflict of faith when it is staring them in the face. People never see a conflict of faith. They only see personalities, and others just want peace and harmony. But the truth is, and as we stated earlier, as long as theirs are in the picture, we will always have conflict, for it is only when they are totally gone, completely separated away from the camp of the bride, that the bride will have peace. Matthew chapter 13, verse 41 and 43. After the Canal Judgment of Faith Assembly, Brother William Fletcher, who, along with his wife, had attended some of the meetings that are held in Calhoun, Georgia, invited me to have meetings in his church in Williamstown, New Jersey. When we went to New Jersey, my wife and I brought some copies of the book I had written in response to the developments in the Jackson movement following the Canal Judgment of the book, titled, He That Is To Come. When I asked Brother Fletcher why he had not distributed my books to his church members, in view of all the developments that had taken place, to give them a better understanding, he told me that the issues the books addressed was between me and the Minister of Faith Assembly, all because the man could not see truth in conflict. My Oma in my heart, I marveled at his reasoning, and said nothing, for there was no point, because it is incredible that a minister of the gospel just cannot see truth in conflict. He did not want his assembly to know what was going on at Faith Assembly, about the current developments within the Jackson movement, developments which he took as personal issues. So, let me repeat, the Jackson movement was stumbled and derailed over the issue of the truth about He That Is To Come, and about apostolic leadership. If you cannot see this truth, I cannot help you. For that was precisely when the Jackson movement crossed the line, when the stumbling on truth took place, creating the divide, the great crack which then broke wide open in 2008, with the third day junk of the Apostle of Baal. May I reiterate for necessary emphasis, that derailment took place precisely in January 2005, when James Allen and Bob Thompson overturned the way forward that Brother Jackson had clearly pointed to in April 2004. Thereby seeking to nullify and overturn the witness of the chief apostle regarding the subsequent carrier of fresh manna, the divine blueprint of redemption, the means God ordained to give direction and focus to the universal bride of Christ. That was how and when the Jackson movement stumbled and the open, visible, collapse that occurred in the Jackson movement in 2008, with the release of the third day plagued by James Allen, was only a result, an inevitable fruit of the evil deed that had been done to God's revealed plan of redemption, back in 2005. Not that I expect the Jackson movement to ever realize or even acknowledge or accept that, for as it is written in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19, the way of the wicked, the unbeliever, is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble, and hence, they are never able to identify the true place or stone where they stumbled. They have to miss the mark, so they can remain in perpetual darkness. And to let you see that this is the absolute truth, that January 2005 was the year of stumbling for the Jackson movement, that you may see the true stone of offense, the omniscient God, who alone drew up this great plan of redemption, for knew exactly what James Allen and Bob Thompson were going to do in January 2005, motivated by their godless ambition that would make them blatantly usurp divine apostolic authority in outright rejection of the way forward for the universal bride, which the chief apostle had openly laid out in the continent of Europe, 2 and a bit years to January the 16th, 2005, at the October 2002 convention in Vardal, Norway. The Holy Spirit gave a prophetic utterance to me through Rolf Stroman, which I have on audio recording. It was on Saturday evening, October the 26th, 2002, when the Lord declared, I have brought you through snares, I have brought you through hardships, and I've given a word in the depths of your heart, the revelation that you shall stand on. I've spoken to you in former days, and I speak to you again. I am pleased if you will stand before me, and put aside every human efforts, and stand before the revelation I have put in your heart. And don't listen to anything that is said from the left and the right, but look straight forward, because I shall meet thy eyes, and thy needs, and the requirements of your life. And you shall be established in your calling, and you shall be a blessing to the people that you shall serve. Be not afraid, but remain in a humble attitude, because men will come to push you aside, to take the position that I have given you. But don't be afraid of them, because anyone who tries to hurt you, hurts me. Because if you stay humble before me, You would be the apple of my eye, and I shall protect you beyond any human efforts, saith the Lord. Today, this prophecy needs no interpretation, and neither do we need to wonder what its application might be, for it speaks for itself, as the events at Faith Assembly in January 2005 vindicate its authenticity as being absolutely divine, giving us its precise prophetic application. Again, during the following meeting, on the morning of Sunday, October the 27th, 2002, the Holy Spirit gave yet another prophecy to my wife and myself, through the same vessel, Rolf Strömmen. I also have the audio, and it goes thus. I have brought you together under miraculous circumstances, and I shall continue to lead you in the same pattern. If you walk close to me, and stand before me in the gap that I have placed you, you will see my hand guiding your lives. You shall be a testimony to everyone that you meet. Some would not like it. The Holy Spirit speaking ahead of James Allen, Bob Thompson, and the rest of them, reiterating the prophetic truth, and they would try to push you over the cliff. They tried with me, and it wouldn't work. And I shall lead you on in appropriate ways. And the steps you are to take are foreordained before the foundation of the world. So you can rest in me, and I shall lead you on. There is a glorious time ahead, and it is still ahead, even as we speak. But remember, if you feel it is a struggle, look up to me, because I have more resource for you than you can ever imagine. Lead on. Follow the path I have set before you, and I shall lead you, and I shall put strength into your arms, that you can finish and accomplish the task that I have placed in your heart, saith the Lord. You have to see that this is nothing but God. And about 3 weeks prior to this convention in Norway, on a Sunday morning, October the 6th, 2002, during the meetings I held in East Chicago, Indiana, a prophecy had also been given to me by the Holy Ghost. May I add that in that day, although the Lord blessed the meetings in East Chicago and gave us a wonderful time around the Holy Scriptures, nevertheless, I was very burdened in my heart, and extremely low in my spirit, a fact which I hid very well from the brethren, so that I might be a blessing to them, and not put a damper on our gathering. During the Sunday service, out came a prophecy through Corinna Glass, after a message in tongues had first been given by Melia Remers. Although I had misplaced the audio recording given at the time, however, Dennis and Robin Josko were kind enough to email the prophecy to me in Nigeria, after the meetings. The Holy Spirit declared, "My son, I have sent you across many waters. I sent you to this place, a place where you will see my people, a place where you will understand what I have given unto thee to share with many peoples. I say unto thee, be not discouraged or dismayed. I have a hand on thee. I am guiding thee. I am directing thee. I know when thou art down in spirit. I see the heaviness upon thy heart from day to day. But I say unto thee, the Lord God shall lift thee up to a height that no man shall understand. I know thou hast felt deserted at times. I know thou fear thou is in the pit from day to day. But I say, as Job said, though I raise my eyes in hell, my God is with me. And I say unto thee, my son, I love you with a true and great love. And I am with you. I am going to lead you. You shall become great in my sight. People shall know the Lord thy God had directed thee from beginning to end. In this life, but for you, my son, there shall be no end, for I am the God of eternity, and I am going to bring you to the place in me, in eternity, and you shall rest forever, in the bosom of my love, saith the Lord. Saints of God, these three prophecies of the Holy Spirit, the one given in East Chicago, in the continent of America, and the other two given in Norway, in the continent of Europe, perfectly harmonize with what the Lord later gave through Kevin Grace at Faith Assembly on April the 24th, 2004. This, in turn, has vindicated the prophetic declaration the public witness, the chief apostle Father gave that night about my lead apostolic ministry, as the vessel of clay, who, no doubt, will write the last chapter of the book of Acts, as a bride gets ready to leave this world, which gives us none other than the end in lead apostle, an office we can take nowhere else, but to John, in Revelation 10, verse 11. And just before the burial service for Brother Jackson began that morning of December the 8th, 2004, as I entered the empty church from the computer room, the back room, I met James Allen and Bob Thompson standing on the platform, with the casket of the chief apostle in front of the platform. We greeted each other, and they both told me this: "We want you to know that Brother Jackson told us some things about you, which was about my ministry, but they deliberately hid it from me, as if by doing so, it would not be fulfilled." They also asked that I preach the next day, Thursday, December the 9th, 2004, at the midweek service, when I then took the message we also have in the scribe, titled, "Where Are We?" Later, when they informed a brother, who I know to be Steve Yarhouse, that they were going to judge me, he asked them, "What would you do?" Because Brother Jackson said that there was a great calling upon his life. Even Mike Hefner of Montgomery, Illinois, during my visits, told me in the course of the church services a number of times from his own pulpit, "Brother Amos, you are the Martin Luther of this day." He also informed me that he told Brother Jackson, "Brother Amos is the Martin Luther of this day." I did not say that I was the Martin Luther of this day, but that was his open testimony in those days about me before his own local assembly, when he read the second book I wrote on Brother Jackson, titled, "Does Raymond Jackson Believe the Message?" Mike Hefner made a very complimentary remark to me, saying, "Brother Amos, the way you brought out the Godhead is very good. I have never read such condensation of the Godhead." As a matter of fact, when I preached a message back then at East Chicago, merely pleading earnestly with them to look to God for a pastor and not to use the internet platform of the chief apostle to deny and reject the only fold of ministry which every fully-fledged local assembly is at least expected to have. Even though the internet platform of Brother Jackson had its place and great input, they were mad at me for this sincere and scriptural counsel. When I was gone, the late David Bromley, who was their anchor man, climbed the pulpit and said to the assembly, "Had here a black brother from Africa come tell us what to do." Unknown to them, I had sent a copy of that very message to Brother Jackson for his information, and it was Mike Hefner who later informed me in the presence of my wife that when David Bromley went to report me to Brother Jackson, that Brother Jackson gave him a slap on the wrist. He said these exact words, "Brother Amos, Brother Jackson gave them a long list of your credentials. It is all by the grace of God, brothers and sisters, for we are nothing in ourselves. But the truth is, all these testimonies synchronize with the chief apostle's witnesses about my ministry. And my stand has not changed one dime, and neither has my style of preaching changed, for it just has not. Saints, take all these divine witnesses back to the sad event of January 2005 at Faith Assembly, and you must see exactly when and how the Jackson movement derailed, stumbling upon the stone of offense, if you have any love for the truth. For as Jesus Christ declared in Matthew chapter 21, verse 42, did you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner'? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." It is always like that. And as it is written in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 3b, "And if the tree fall toward the south, or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be, and there he will forever remain, for there will be no moving forward, no true meaningful spiritual progress for the soul or souls from thence." That is the very reason that Jackson movement are not walking in the ever-brightening pathway of the justified bride of Jesus Christ, for they have been derailed from it. Proverbs 4 verse 18, to James Allen and Bob Thompson, and to all their ministerial cohorts, the prophecies that the Spirit of the Lord gave in no way showed you out, for it unmasked you, plainly showing the evil you did in January 2005, because by it, you sought to deny the bride of Jesus Christ of having the Joshua of continuity and completion, the Joshua of possession. You tried most unsuccessfully to deny the royal bride, the Enoch of this seventh age, the God-ordained third and final Joseph with the eagle food in the third and final storehouse, lighthouse, the vessel who is the third and final reader for the royal bride of Jesus Christ. Matthew 24, verse 28, Revelation 10, verses 8 to 11. Matthew 13, verse 52. Revelation 1, verse 3. For all these men, Joshua, Joseph, and Enoch, set a perfect type of the ending apostolic lead ministry of the Word Bride, ordained for the rapture. That is precisely why the Jackson movement have not gone one dime forward in the light of the Word, the smooth-baked bread of life, but are only walking around in a vicious circle of death, going absolutely nowhere. Only the elect seeds of God will be delivered. Brothers and sisters, knowing the gross darkness that pervades this Laodicean age, a most rebellious, completely self-willed, totally apostate, and most godless age ever, where they have Jesus Christ completely outside of their camps, outside of their churches, and with Christendom completely bombarded and overwhelmed with voices, all clamoring for recognition, and all claiming to speak for God, it is most certain, just as I often state, it is the supernatural that will most certainly have the biggest role to play in this final move for the Bride of Christ. This continuing move started majorly with supernatural manifestations, all captured on camera, a development that drew lots of people to this move. Instead of seeking for truth, many were drawn by the supernatural for their healing and deliverance at the time. But it was God quietly stirring the waters of the Word, being strictly a revelation move. For those who are interested, we have a number of supernatural pictures on the supernatural page of our website and also two video clips on our homepage. As I said before, I believe the supernatural will most certainly have the biggest role to play in this final move of truth. This will be God's way of delivering His elect seeds who are still in the Jackson movement, following men whose ministries are leading nowhere but to the mark of the beast, which is precisely why they are forever going around in circles. For when God steps on the scene and deals in a supernatural way with His children ordained as bride, just how can the devil keep them back? Though it is also a fact, even as it is written in Job chapter 33, verses 14 to 18, "For God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not." In other words, God can show us something in a dream or in a vision, but if we have idols in our hearts, preconceived ideas, which is unbelief, the birds of the air will take that divine instruction away from us. We will not profit from such divine leadership, and we will have no excuse for not walking in the true light. Let us take it from verse 14 again. "For God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not." In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then He openeth the ears of men, and sealeth their instruction, that He may withdraw man from his purpose, and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit, and his life from perishing by the sword. If only he will listen, and obey God, following exactly what God has shown him. In one of the meetings I held in Chilupolo village, Andhra Pradesh state, India, a brother came to tell me that he had seen me in a dream or vision, ever before he knew anything about me. I asked him to write it down, and send it to me, and it states, "After my morning prayer on the 30th of December, 2006, I was thinking about the dealing I had received from God, when I slumbered. Suddenly, I saw something. I don't know whether it was a vision or a dream. In that experience, the setting was a seashore, Harbour Road, which is near to our village. A vehicle that looks like a motorcycle rickshaw was coming like a rocket from the north to the south, with high speed. The vehicle looked like a rickshaw, but it was not made of such material. It was a special kind white-colored vehicle. My wife and I saw the vehicle coming with such terrific speed. We were also coming to the road from the east direction. It was a morning with heavy snow fall. My wife and I cried out, 'Sir, your speed is too much, you may crash, turn carefully.' Suddenly and incredibly, he stopped the vehicle, and turned at once with the same speed, facing the direction he came from. He stopped in front of us and said, 'Get in the vehicle, for I came for you, I came to take you with me.' He is a black man with white beard and black hair. He is around 45 years of age. After a while, I heard a voice behind me saying, 'Be prepared to go.' I got in the vehicle with him. On the 19th of January, 2007. I happened to see the same man I saw in my dream in Chiluf Oro village meeting, and I recognized him. His brother Emels Amoboriowo. In the United States, between September and October 2016, Sister Jasmine Carter, a Mexican-American sister who attended Mike Hefner's church in Montgomery, Illinois, before pulling out, also had a dream. She was kind enough to share it with me, and it goes thus. I remember around 3 in the morning, I was kind of falling asleep, and I woke up for a little bit. This happened, I think, about a month, or a month and a half ago. My husband had told me many things about the church in Montgomery, and I didn't want to believe him, and I really don't want to go into details on what he was telling me. But he was kind of telling me, open your eyes, you know, open your eyes. You have to see what is going on around you. So, I went to bed with that, and I said, Lord, what did he try to tell me? So, after that, around 3 in the morning, I fell asleep, and like 20 minutes after I fell asleep, I had a dream, and in this dream, it involved Brother Hefner, me, my husband, and Sister Margot, one of my Hefner sisters. My husband was driving a truck. He was driving, and I was at the passenger side. So, Sister Margot was on the back side, and Brother Hefner was behind me. So, after that, I remember we were on three different highway. There was a top freeway, which represents the John movement, bearing the continuing and concluding light of the word. The bottom freeway, which represents the Branham movement, and the middle freeway, which represents the Jackson movement. We were in the middle freeway, and I can see beneath me, there was a bottom freeway which has a lot of cars and a lot of people in them. For the Branham movement have lost the vision of heaven, and are now chasing the Pentecostal dream of acquiring money, exotic cars, swank homes, properties, and the material things of the world. But I didn't really pay too much attention to that freeway. I did pay attention to that freeway above me, the top freeway, but I didn't see no car up there, being a deserted, hard, and lonely way, for truth has extremely few friends and has no roof over its head. All I saw just went straight, and there was light at the end of the freeway. And that is where I always wanted to be, but for some reason, I was stuck in the middle freeway, which is leading nowhere, with Brother Hefner, my husband, me, and Sister Margot. So, my husband was driving, and my husband seemed at that time like he knew where he was going, and also Brother Hefner knew where he was going, and my husband just kept on driving, and I remember my husband going around in circles. But at the same time, he knew what he was doing. He was going around in circles just to make sure that we were paying attention, and we were aware of everything that was going on. And it looked like Brother Hefner kind of knew that he was going in circles, but he didn't want to admit it, and he didn't want to open his eyes or say anything. So my husband went around the same way, took the same freeway, the middle freeway, 2 times. And at the third time, I started seeing around me, and I felt, okay, wait a minute. We have already passed through this way, same way, 1 time, 2 times now. Well, I asked my husband and said, didn't you pass through here already? And he said, he just kind of gave me a look like, wait, let me see how long it takes them to find out, you know, that we have been on this road for so long. So he went another time, and Brother Hefner just stuck his neck up real high to see up the window, and he looked like he knew that we have already passed through there, and we were going in circles, but he wouldn't say anything. He had that look on his face, where he wanted to see where that road will take us to, even though he knew it wasn't taking us anywhere. He just wanted to see, and see how far, you know, it took to get wherever he wanted to go. So I had to speak up, and I told my husband, I said, wait a minute. I said, we are just going around in circles, and my husband said, you just realized that. I said, wow, you've been through this road 2 times already. And he said, well, I did that on purpose, so that you guys can open your eyes and be more aware that we are just going around in circles. So Sister Margot was behind him, and she gave Brother Hefner the look like, you knew we were going around in circles all this time, and you didn't say anything. She was very upset at him, But after that, Brother Hefner didn't say a word, or he didn't say anything. And I just remember looking at the freeway above me, the top freeway, and there was light at the end, and that is where I wanted to be. The middle one, that's the one we were going around in circles. And there was one above that went straight, and there was light at the end of it, and that is where my heart wanted to be. I didn't know how to get there, but that's where I knew I wanted to be. And the middle one where we were on, my husband was driving us in circles, but he had a purpose. He wanted us to wake up. And Sister Margot was like, she looked like she blamed Brother Hefner, like, why are you going around in circles if you know we are? How come you're not saying anything? What a dream. What a serious dream. And just how perfect. May I act, and you take it or leave it. The Jackson movement is going nowhere. They will never follow the light. I showed you the solid and immutable Bible reason in our book, titled, The Way of Every Lighthouse, a message we have also laid out in the scribe and have quoted from in the earlier part of this scribe message. So, saints of God, speaking specifically of the Jackson movement, all they will do, and all they can do, is to just continue walking in circles, thanking God for Brother Jackson who is dead, exactly like the Branham movement, as they are going nowhere, for God has laid them on the shelf, and moved on, just as he promised. For as we must know, the end of apostasy, all apostasy, is death in the lake of fire. Shortly after the dream, Sister Jasmine had another dream, precisely in October of 2016, which she related to me as follows. I was dreaming that I was asking the Lord in prayer, Lord, I would like to know the meaning of the story of the women at the well. I don't know who I can talk to about this. No one seems to preach your word anymore. I went to bed after praying, all part of my dream. While still laying in bed, I saw white letters floating in the air. It seemed like the letters were coming out of a scribe. I tried to wake up from my sleep and grab something to write with, but I couldn't. The letters started shifting as if someone was forming sentences. The sentences became paragraphs. I wondered and looked again to see where the words were coming from. I looked down on the right side of the bed where I was laying and saw a scribe. I wondered how the scribe got there. I don't remember grabbing the scribe, but I do recall seeing Brother Amos' picture on the front page. I wondered and said, Brother Amos. I knew then that Brother Amos was the only one that already knew the meaning and truth of the true word. Once again, I wanted to wake up from my sleep and write down what I saw, but I couldn't. I later realized that everything had been written in my heart. I woke up from my sleep and shared the dream with my husband. Brothers and sisters, in this third and final junction of time in Laodicea, the Lord has to have someone with the answers. A chosen vessel with crystal clear scriptural answers to the legitimate Bible questions of the children of God. A man who holds the ending divine blueprint of redemption, bearing the brightest light ever, possessing all the Bible lights of Elijah, with all the Bible lights of the chief apostle, plus the present truth, the continuing, climaxing, and concluding light of Jesus Christ of the Holy Bible. And as we all know, or should know, preeminence lays in the ending ministry, being a most crucial point, for that is where everything comes to its fruition, its completion, because the ending point is where everything that began in the first age of Christendom all points to, and all leads to. Please note that this is not about a man, but it is all about God's ending plan of universal redemption, and God has to use a vessel of clay somewhere. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 8, Haggai 2 verse 9. Furthermore, as the children of light, you will all agree with me that particularly in this extremely dark and dingy universe, which has been taken over completely by serpent seeds, the Lord has to have a true witness of the truth of Christ, a beacon of light, and only God reserves the right in his choice of this vessel of clay. Moreover, just how are we going to have the rebirth of the Pyrian original seed church without an apostolic lead ministry when the early church had won? The chief apostle Peter to the Jews. And when the Gentile era came, the Gentiles had the chief apostle Paul, and when he passed away in 66 AD, they had the lead apostle John, successively, in that first age of Christendom, bringing continuity, completion, and conclusion to the inspired written record of the Word God for us Gentiles. In that first church age, the Ephesian age, this gave us two successive lead apostles, whom Jesus referred to in his prophetic address in 96 AD, recorded in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 and 5, as the angel of the church of Ephesus, and as the candlestick of Jesus Christ to the Ephesian church age, respectively, two consecutive bearers of the light of Christ, the fresh carcass. Brothers and sisters, although many testimonies abound, nonetheless, I would like to give just one more witness of how the Lord is dealing with His children in supernatural ways to lead them into this continuing and concluding light of the Word of Christ. This dream, which was sent to me from a sister in Ghana, who attends the local assembly in Spintex, Accra, was related to me by Brother Felix Kwao, the anchor man of the local assembly. It goes thus. This is the dream of Sister Rejoice Agbeko, after we came from the November 2019 convention in Lagos, Nigeria. I was narrating what God is doing in our day to the church, and so, we took a message, titled, Where Are We? About 3 weeks later, according to the testimony of Sister Rejoice, she was praying about what I had been teaching them about Brother Amos. When she was praying about it, she had a dream. Before she realized it, there were two ships on the water. One is big and the other one is small. So, she decided to enter into the big one, as a lot of people were entering it. And somebody behind her told her that she should enter into the smaller one and to watch, because the big one will sink. And truly, as she was standing, watching, the big ship started sinking. It was sinking slowly. It was sinking and sinking until the water covered it up completely and it sunk, disappearing in the water. Then she came out of her dream. She came and narrated it to me, and I told her to narrate it to the church, which she did. God bless you. May I say this, only one ship will make it through to glory land, heaven, and only one ship will land at the heavenly shores, and it can be none other than the ship of revealed truth, small in size, because of its extremely small numerical constitution. But it is absolutely divinely secure and unsinkable, bearing the Lord's despised elect few, the end type of the Ark of Noah, which is Jesus Christ in his present, climax in, and concluding divine scriptural revelation. I do not have to tell you what the big ship is. You do the math. Do not be deceived. Outside of the followership of Jesus Christ in his present and continuous divine revelation of the Holy Bible, you are going nowhere, but your ship must sink, and it most surely will sink. Let me encourage you. Therefore, do not be afraid or ashamed to stand with the Lord's despised elect few, God's elect remnant, for it will most certainly yield eternal dividends. The spirit of conviction has left the Gentiles, and as such, do not expect people to see the true and rich light of Christ you see. You are the one to follow the light you see. For the Jackson movement clearly loathe fresh manna. They despise it, for they are satisfied with old manna, which is taking them nowhere. However, fresh manna is your only lifeline. It is your life. Brothers and sisters, once again, I challenge all the men in the Jackson movement. Which of you has brought even one jot of the light? Babylite, fresh carcass, inspired of God to enable the application of Proverbs for verse 18, in any measure, for the universal bride of Christ. I challenge all of you this morning, from Canada to the United States, to South America, to India, to Australia, to New Zealand, to Norway, to Europe, to South Africa, to West Africa. Please give me just one of you that has brought one single fresh carcass of revealed truth to move the bride forward in the light, since Brother Jackson passed away. Because we are now talking about the living bread, fresh bread, the smooth-baked bread of Christ, the end type of the fresh manna that the church in a shadow, the church in the wilderness, was sustained by throughout their journey to Canaan land, which type glory land, heaven. It is the ever-fresh manna that makes the Holy Scriptures come alive for the royal bride of Jesus Christ. And it is also what keeps her alive, for fresh manna is her life. Hence, it is infallibly and immutably written, for wheresoever the carcass is, there, and only there, will the eagles be gathered together. Moreover, if I may also ask, which leaves end in the message of Elijah, has any of you been used of God to tie? And which conflict in the message of William Branham? And in the continuity message of Raymond Jackson, has any of you been used to resolve for the bride of Christ? Which scriptural conflict in the continuing message of Raymond Jackson did any of you resolve for the bride of Jesus Christ, bringing perfect scriptural clarity? And since we are talking about resolving conflicts, let me resolve a conflict in the message this morning, the Lord being my helper. 15 years is enough time for every man to prove himself and to show precisely what stuff he is made of, what God has deposited in him. 15 years is a long time, and it is more than enough to do that, to show your fruits. Please come with me as we resolve a conflict by the grace of God, because it will help the children of God around the globe to know just how to look at a great prophetic issue. In his message in the Contender dated May 2003, titled The Last 100 Years Plus, Part 5, listen to what Brother Jackson said under the subtitle, Finally, the Effects of Sixth Seal are Manifested. Listen very carefully, because I want to lay a conflict before you, one that honestly needs to be resolved scripturally. Brother Jackson stated, the revelation of the sixth seal comes ahead of the seventh seal, but the fulfillment of the sixth seal comes after the fulfillment of the seventh seal. And we know all that, or should know that, because in their order of fulfillment, the sixth seal is the last seal to be fulfilled. Brother Jackson continued, the sixth seal, six being the number of man, is what this whole period is all about, the week of Daniel. In other words, Brother Jackson is taking the sixth seal and he is applying it to the last week of Daniel, and he explains why he did that, saying, because it covers only two categories of people, the Jews that are to hear what the prophets say, and also that mortal element of the nations that are allowed to hear the everlasting gospel that will be preached by the 144,000 servants of God. Why did I say this sixth seal is just for those Jews that will hear this? Because we must keep in mind that the foolish virgins have already been saved back here, under the fourth seal. How many realize that? That does not tear continuity apart in any way. The seventh seal has no salvation in it. First, the numerical equivalent which speaks of completeness is primarily for the bride to take out of the nations a people for his name. She goes up under the revelation of the seventh seal right at the beginning of the week of Daniel. The events of the week of Daniel are for the Jews. I hope I have made that clear enough to all of you. Those foolish virgins were all saved right on up to the point where the seventh seal is opened and Jesus is off the mercy seat, all of which is still under the effects of or the merits of the fourth seal. Now, our church, what Brother Jackson is saying in essence is that the sixth seal is applicable in the last week of Daniel, that the sixth seal runs through the last week of Daniel. Let us read the quote again. The sixth seal, six being the number of man, is what this whole period is all about, the week of Daniel, because it covers only two categories of people, the Jews that are to hear what the prophets say, and also that mortal element of the nations that are allowed to hear the everlasting gospel that will be preached by the 144,000 servants of God. So, we can all clearly see that Brother Jackson took the sixth seal and applied it to the last week of Daniel. Church, I honestly believe he did so. Because of the projection Brother Branham made on March the 24th, 1963, in his message titled, The Seventh Seal, where the prophet said in paragraphs 387 to 390. Now we find out, also, in this, that the sixth seal, now being opened, it was for a threefold purpose. Now, here was the purposes. The first thing was that the sleeping virgins, who are the foolish virgins, had to go through the tribulation period for purification. She had to be purged of her sins of unbelief and rejecting the message. This, she was done in the tribulation period. We see the wind up over here in Revelation 7, between the 6th and 7th chapter here, that she had been purged, and she had been given her robes. Now, she's not the bride, but it's the church. Church. You know the bride is a church, and the church is a bride. However, let us proceed, as we take that last statement again. Now, she is not the bride. But it's the church, the pure people that didn't have the opportunity, maybe, to receive the message. Or in some way that they were blinded by these false prophets. And they didn't get a chance, and yet they're really sincere in heart. And God knows their heart. And here they are port during this time. So, we can see that in March 1963, Brother Branham taught that the sixth seal has a threefold purpose. The first purpose is the purging of the foolish virgins. All right. Now, for the second purpose, he said, you notice it, another purging time. That's for Israel, when she gathers. That's the second fold purpose. God purges Israel in the tribulation period. Out of the millions that are gathered there, there will be a selected 144,000, and they will be purged. Also, God's purging Israel. So, that is the second purpose according to Brother Branham. For the third purpose, let us now see, as he continued, declaring, notice, there is the whole earth is to be purged. There will be such a thing that the moon, stars, and all nature will be purged. You see what it is? The earth is renewing herself, being purged, getting ready for the millennium. The millennium's coming up. And, see, everything that's got any filth in it is to be purged during the sixth seal. We will stop right here. So, we see something. The projection Brother Jackson made aligns with the projection of Brother Branham. Which is why I honestly believe that Brother Jackson made his own projection, based on what the prophet had laid out. However, the truth is that with this projection, we now have a conflict, a serious scriptural conflict. And exactly what conflict does this give us? It is simply this, for we have to ask a fundamental question. Can we truly apply the sixth seal to the last week of Daniel? That is the crucial and material issue. Because the 144,000 are called and anointed in the first half of the last week, and the elect Jews, as well as the Gentile foolish virgins that are ordained for martyrdom, are killed in the second half of that week. Hence the reason both Brother Branham and Brother Jackson, in the quotes we considered, apply the sixth seal to the entire week of Daniel. The question remains, however, can we truly apply the sixth seal to the last week of Daniel? That is the issue, because now we have a conflict, a great conflict. Listen to me as I now say this, although I know the Branham movement will call for my head, but listen carefully to what I say now, for we are on holy ground. You must understand, brothers and sisters, that the closer we get to a prophetic event, the clearer our understanding of that prophecy must be, and will be. In other words, our understanding today, on all issues of the Holy Scriptures, particularly at prophetic events that are just ahead of us, has to be the clearest ever, because of where we are in time, the very fact that we are in the ending move of God, for the royal bride of Christ. Therefore, I will say this, there is no way anyone can apply the sixth seal to the last week of Daniel. It just cannot be done, and it most certainly will not work, if we do. As bright saints, we must realize that both our Elijah and Paul, two consecutive scribes that have gone on to their reward, did not have all the pieces of the puzzle, and neither was their hour the clearest, because as we move on in time, our pathway as the justified of God gets ever more brighter, making our understanding much better today than what we had yesterday. It does not take anything away from their ministry, and neither does it offend their message. But it just shows that they spoke about some things before the due divine season. In some respect, they spoke outside of the God ordained hour for the unveiling of some things, and hence, their projections in certain respects are absolutely incorrect, and we should be able to understand that, and relate to that. We should be able to do that, particularly as we are not knocking them on the head, but we are only seeking to set the scriptural record straight, so that the truth alone can be established, and traditional ideas removed. After all, Brother Branham himself declared, that if the angel of the Lord told him anything that was contrary to the Holy Scriptures, he would not accept it. Why? It is simply because the Holy Scriptures are the sole foundation for our revealed truths, and the exclusive basis for all inspired preaching and teaching, the only basis for our revelations of God. So, please listen to me, and use the Holy Bible as your litmus test. Church, To begin with, we must not forget that God anointed Brother Branham to speak in duality, which is the very reason his message carries a lot of fun, a lot of dual statements, counterquotes on virtually every issue of truth, as the Lord's means of separation within the Branham movement. Consequently, we have to take every projection or teaching back to the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, when the prophet was preaching on the sixth seal, he did not say that the seal has a threefold purpose. He did not say that at all. And we would expect him to have laid this out, if that is indeed the purpose of that very seal. When he projected the threefold purpose of the sixth seal, he was not dealing with the sixth seal, but rather, it was actually one who was dealing with the seventh seal, and it is the revelation he carried for that day, the revelation he had received from the angel of the Lord for that day, that was strictly about the seventh seal. Because in March 1963, he dealt with one seal at a time, and he also preached the one seal at a time, just as he had been dealt with by God. Nevertheless, when he was preaching on the seventh seal, the only seal that is yet to be broken as we speak, setting forth the prophetic insight he had been given into it, in order to post the bride ahead to the hour of its actual breaking, he then also gave us the threefold purpose of the sixth seal, a fact which he did not set forth when he was dealing particularly and specifically with the sixth seal. Brothers and sisters, may I inform whoever has an ear to hear, that the projection is nothing but a fan of Matthew 3 verse 12, a wind of doctrine. Since, you must understand that that man, unlike all the other men God has used through time, had an unusual ministry, on account of the prophetic fan which operated majorly in his ministry. For it was in this ministry the fan was ignited, making him speak in duality. However, when he passed away, the successive standard-bearing ministry of the chief apostle Paul was also anointed to speak in duality in a measure, a very small measure, thereby also creating a fan in the continuity message that he bore for the bride of Christ. We brought out this truth in our scribe titled The Fan and the Ending Ministry. That was the very reason the chief apostle took revelatory unity away from his own ministry and placed it squarely in the next move of God for the bride, because the next move, which is the third and final move, is the move for unity of the faith and perfection, a move that has to be absolutely free of the fan. That was precisely why Brother Jackson warned, proclaiming to the universal bride, I say these things to help us see this one thing, that on the face of this earth, unity will be brought about by a key spokesman, because the truth of Christ has to be born with a crystal clear voice, one that is totally free of all dual projections, which is the fan, totally free of all ambiguities, contradictions, not allowing for confusion on any issue of the Word of God. And when truth is presented with scriptural depth, absolute crystal clarity, in simplicity and in its entirety, completeness, this takes out all arguments on issues of the faith, ensuring revelatory harmony, unity of the faith. Period. Coming back to the issue we are now considering, the issue of the threefold purpose of the sixth seal, let me simply ask you, Church, what is revelation? Saints of God, as we must all know, or should know, revelation does not give us what is not there in the inspired written Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. So, let us start our X-ray of this subject matter from this standpoint, because revelation, a true revelation of God, is absolutely and inarguably Bible-based. Every true revelation has to be solidly Bible-based, or it is not of God, because the only foundation, the exclusive foundation for our revealed truth of Jesus Christ, is the Holy Bible. In other words, when we talk about the revelation of God, it does not give us what is not there in the Holy Scriptures. A true revelation of God gives us what is already there, but is hidden, for the Spirit of God has covered it with a divine veil, which disallows us all from ever seeing it. However, when God now sheds His light on the Scripture, removing the veil, we suddenly see something. We see what God has hidden in the Scripture for centuries of time, something we did not see before, a revelation that the Scripture gives to us. I am saying in essence, the revelation does not give us what is not there. It does not give us what we cannot find unestablished by the Word of God. And you cannot have a revelation that is not there in the Holy Bible, as that is not a revelation at all, but only an idea, a tradition of man. If it is not in the Word, if it cannot be established by the Word, because it has no basis in the Holy Scriptures, then it is not a revelation at all. For every true revelation that God gives must of necessity have its anchor in the Word of God, giving us what is there, but which we could not see, something that had been hidden all this while, because a divine veil covered it from every human eye, unto the anointed vessel of clay ordained to carry that light comes along and brings it out from that very passage of Scripture. For as we must continue to reiterate, revelation does not give us what is not in the Word of God, something we cannot find there. Come on! Wake up, for we are on holy ground. You must know that in this last move, if indeed we are in the ending move of God for the Word Bride, we must have all the answers to the revelation of Jesus Christ, for by it we must be fully and richly adorned in our souls, attaining Christ's complete revelational stature, in full readiness for the return of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, please come with me to the Word of God, as we now consider the sixth seal. But do not forget, revelation does not give us what is not there. Revelation only opens up a truth, removing the veil that God has placed upon a truth that is there, a truth that we could not see, because of the spiritual veil that hid it from our eyes. And when the veil is removed, then we say, wow, look at this. How come I did not see it before now? For it is right there, staring us in the face. Consequently, you can prove that revelation from that day onwards, right from the Holy Scriptures where it was buried, totally concealed. In total contrast, you most definitely cannot prove what is not there. The book of Revelation chapter 6, which Jesus gave in 96 AD, beginning from verse 12, records, "And I beheld when he, Jesus Christ, had opened the sixth seal in heaven, and, lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven, meteors, fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, the Lord redesigning the topography of the earth with gigantic and unimaginable earth movements, humongous earthquakes, causing unimaginable shifts in the tectonic plates of the earth, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Church, the sixth seal gives us nothing but the day of the Lord, which comes immediately after the last week of Daniel has run its full course, immediately after it has expired. It is the judgment and purging of the whole earth, when God also sets this planet on fire. 2 Peter 3 verses 10 to 13. Church, back in 33 AD, Jesus Christ had earlier also spoken of this great prophetic event, declaring in Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 to 30, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Therefore, now listen to me, for I want to say this loud and clear. For you to take the sixth seal and bring it to the last week of Daniel, you will have to walk over the Holy Scriptures. I repeat, for you to take the sixth seal and bring it to the last week, you will have to close your eyes to the Holy Scriptures. Let me say it in another way. For you to take the sixth seal and bring it to the 70th week, you will have to bring it out from this very passage of prophetic scripture, which sets forth the sixth seal, because it is just not there. And as we have sufficiently proven, revelation does not give us what is not there. It only opens up what is there, which the Spirit of the Lord has hidden from our eyes with a spiritual veil. And when God removes that veil, it lets us see the truth that is hidden therein. For we see it in plain view, and we say, wow, What a light! What a revelation we see in this verse of scripture. It is like the revelation of the serpent seed. It is right there in Genesis chapter 3, and not something Brother Branham brought out of the blues. Revelation does not give you what is not in the Holy Scriptures, for revelation only opens the truth of the Holy Scriptures, which a divine veil had covered prior to the time of its divine unveiling. Then you can see the truth in plain view, right there in the pages of the Holy Bible, because as we must consistently emphasize, the foundation for our revealed truth is the Word of God. That is why Brother Branham, in his message dated March 1963, titled The Seventh Seal, seriously warned in paragraph 343, saying, "And I think, now, there's many people had visions. There's many been in revelations. If it's contrary to the word, leave it alone." That's right, leave it alone. The previous day, when he was preaching on the sixth seal, in paragraph 36, Brother Branham warned, "Now, like a person said they had a vision, and said that it was, or they know the Lord gave it, because it come with great power." Well, the vision might be all right, but if it isn't with the word, and contrary to the word, just isn't right. See, again, on August the 23rd, 1964, in Questions and Answers, the prophet equally warned in paragraph 8, declaring, "He, Jesus, said, many shall come to me in the day and say, Lord, have not I." See, now, can't you see that you can put your trust in a million campaigns? You can't put your trust in any kind of a sign like that. The only thing you can put your trust in is our seer, the Lord, from the Bible. Now, church, that is exactly where I have tried to keep you, my children. And if something happened to me and God takes me out of this earth, don't you never fail. Remember this with all your heart. Stay with that word. Don't you leave that word. Anything contrary to it, leave it alone, no matter what it is. For however deep the revelation may be, and however complex, the revelation of God does not give us what is not there, what we cannot find in the Holy Scriptures that sets forth the truth. Full stop. Church, the bottom line is basically this: we cannot take the sixth seal and backpedal in time with it, in its application, applying it retroactively, for it will simply not work. I repeat, we cannot apply the sixth seal before its hour of application, as I will not work for the true bride of Christ, who is the word bride, a virgin of the word of God. This is simply irrefutably so, because the sixth seal gives us nothing but the day of the Lord. Period. Moreover, if you are talking about the purification, the purging of the Jews and the Gentile foolish virgins, in the last week of Daniel, the fifth seal already gives us that. Come on! Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 to 11 clearly provides, "And when he, Christ, had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar of God in heaven the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, who were the Jews under Judaism, following the law of Moses, during the Gentile dispensation of grace, and for the testimony which they held, the testimony of the Torah, not that of Jesus Christ. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" Even in heaven, they were still crying for vengeance, instead of saying, "Father, forgive them," a fact which reveals their concealed identity, that they are not believers in the New Testament of Christ, but are strictly Jews who lived by the Torah in the Grace Age, believing in the law of an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. And white robes of righteousness, robes of salvation, were given unto every one of them in heaven, not whilst they were on earth, but whilst they were in heaven. And it was said unto them, and please listen closely to this, that they should dress yet for a little season unto their fellow servants also and their brethren who are still on earth, that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled in the second half of the last week of Daniel, giving us their purging during the tribulation period, by the application of the fifth seal in its second phase application. So, brothers and sisters, we can all clearly see, scripturally speaking, the purging of Israel is already covered by the fifth seal for the martyrdom of the elect remnant seeds of God, both Jews and Gentile foolish virgins, are covered by the fifth seal. The sixth seal does not give us that. The sixth seal only gives us the end, the literal end of the world. If the sixth seal had anything to do with the purging of Israel, then under the sixth seal, there should be a clue to that effect, something in that particular passage of Scripture that gives us that thought, that understanding, because revelation does not give us what is not there. That is why a true revelation of God has to have a solid Bible base, or it is a carnal projection, a human idea, one which the word bride cannot and will not accept, because she is a virgin of the word. You must just never forget that through the same mouth of Elijah, Brother Branham, both wheat and tares were fed with their respective food, as inspired by the Spirit of God, and as bride saints, we must know which food is ours. Brothers and sisters, I warn again, revelation does not give you what is not there. Revelation only opens up and lets you see what is there, which the veil of the Spirit of truth had covered up, concealed, through time. Full stop. And when you see it, as God unveils it, you log on to it, and exclaim, "This is marvelous, and God is wonderful." Because you can now see it, and you can take that very Bible text, and show what has been buried in it, show that revelation from it. Church, you will all agree with me, just as I have shown by the Word of God, that we cannot take the sixth seal and backpedal with it to the last week of Daniel, as this will never work. Therefore, may I challenge the opposition, in proving the threefold purpose of the sixth seal in its application to the last week of Daniel. Please do not give me quotes, but give me only the Holy Scriptures, where it says under the sixth seal that the Jews and the foolish virgins will be purged. Because it does not project that thought in any way. Bring it out from the Holy Scriptures for me, because every revelation has to have an anchor in the Word of God, in order to be true. So, open up the Holy Scriptures, and prove what is not scripturally provable. What we must even realize, a fact of the Holy Bible we must also take into consideration on this matter, is this: on the full and unquestionable authority of Revelation chapter 15, ever before the last week runs its full course, just before it expires, the tribulation saints, both Jews and Gentiles, who are martyred by the Antichrist during the tribulation, are seen in heaven. Their souls are equally revealed in heaven in verses 1 to 3, which records, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues of God's wrath, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, still in heaven, still before the throne of God, as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, at the time it was demanded, during the second half of the 70th week, and for which reason they were martyred, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God." Now watch exactly who they are, for their identity is hidden in their revelatory song, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, which prophetically speaking, gives us the elect Jews, who held to the Torah, the fellow brethren referred to under the fifth seal, and the song of the Lamb, which prophetically speaking, gives us the Gentile foolish virgins, believers of Jesus Christ, saying, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." Then the seven angels with the seven vials were released at the end of this chapter, leading us into chapter 16, where the seventh and final vial was released on the day of the Lord, ushering Christ down to earth with his divine judgments. Saints of God, we have to see without any iota of doubt that the purging of Israel is under the fifth seal in its second part application, because that is what takes us straight to the last week of Daniel. Why have I gone into this issue? In early 2013, when we put out the scribe titled The Seventh Seal, along with the scribe titled The Threefold Mystery of the Seventh Seal, brethren asked me about this subject, the threefold purpose of the sixth seal. They wanted to know the truth of it, because we had not touched on it in those two scribes, which lays out the seven seals, and particularly as Brother Jackson had also made the same projection as Brother Branham, as shown in their two related quotes we considered earlier. In the day, I knew we had a revelatory conflict in the continuity message of Brother Jackson, but somehow, The Lord had just not inspired or moved me to deal with it until now. The question then was, how do we look at what Brother Jackson said here in his quote? Can we really apply it to the sixth seal? The answer is clearly no, we cannot, because the sixth seal has absolutely nothing to do with the last week of Daniel. The sixth seal gives us the end of the world, which comes only after the last week has run its full course. So, yes, we know that God will purge Israel. However, we cannot tie that to the sixth seal, but only to the fifth seal. That is the fundamental point. And why not, you may ask? It is simply because the sixth seal does not give us that fact. It does not give us the fact that Israel will be purged. There are other scriptures we can use to project this scriptural fact, which we have done, but it is not the sixth seal, for that is the ending seal. Full stop. And before you accuse me of not believing the continuity message of Brother Jackson, just because I straightened out an incorrect projection of his, I will tell you in plain terms that I am only as guilty as the chief apostle himself, because he straightened out many issues which Brother Branham got wrong. For it is not about Brother Branham, and neither is it about Brother Jackson, nor is it about John. It is all about the truth of Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God, the true bread of life, and it is the truth alone that must be established. May I even ask, what exactly do you think Brother Jackson meant in his message in The Contender, dated September 1977, titled The Apostle's Office, Part 1, under the subtitle Apostle Dream, when he declared, "Yet I know somewhere God is going to have someone, a lead apostle, who will have enough of God in his life, enough boldness, enough determination to stand for the true entire, complete Word of God, the complete revelation of Jesus Christ of the Holy Bible. No, he will not stand in defense of men's flesh, because he will not be afraid or ashamed to straighten out what needs straightening out, regardless of who said it or taught it, so that only the pure and non-adulterated truth of the Word of God can be established. But he will stand in defense of the resurrected Christ and the true revealed Word of God." What do you think he was talking about here? He was talking explicitly about the end in need apostolic ministry of John, the ministry of unity and of pure truth, the ministry of completion and possession. It is this very ministry the Holy Ghost spoke about at the September 2003 Fall Convention, on the night I was to preach the message, titled, The Position of the Bride Ministry. That evening, during the worship service, a message went forth in tongues by a sister, and the Holy Ghost gave the interpretation through the chief apostle, who prophesied thus, "My children, this is another occasion that I, the living God, have provided and set for the establishment of my purpose. I have said in former times, that as the days draw near, I will do a strange thing amongst my people, things that will begin to tear away the old traditions of man's thinking, that truth, and only truth, may be established for the word bride, that she may truly be a virgin of the word. For I say to you, my little children, this is a way thou hast never walked before. Therefore, if you cannot see the man whom God gives to consume the entire scroll of redemption, bearing a pure, rich, crystal clear, and complete scriptural revelation of Jesus Christ, I cannot help you, because you see nothing. I have laid all that out, simply to let you see that all traditional ways of looking at the word must and will go, if we are to have the word bride, a virgin of the word. May I ask, therefore, and please hear me loud and clear, there are not enough quotes of any man, however mightily anointed, and however highly placed in the ministry, that you can use to nullify one jot of the Holy Scriptures. After all, and this is the bottom line, revelation only gives us what is there in the Holy Word of God. So, you will have to show me in the pages of the Holy Bible, where the last week fits in the sixth seal, because the sixth seal does not give us the events in the last week. It only gives us the end of the world, which is the day of the Lord, rightly dividing the word of truth. You cannot take the application of the sixth seal back in time, applying prophetic scriptures, prophetic events, anywhere you like, just as the religious world does, because you would be adding to, and taking away from, the Word of God. Saints of God, this is one conflict I believe God has helped us to resolve scripturally this morning, and I hope you are all fully settled, established in the truth on this matter. We have brethren who have questioned it. We have had emails of people asking questions concerning it, but I decided to deal with it in this message, as I felt moved in my heart to do. That is why it is not in the scribes we produced on the seals. The light of the S.O.N. of God is still shining, and our pathway certainly just keeps getting ever more brighter. God be praised for His elective love and mercy towards us, unworthy as we are. That is one issue resolved, and we now want to touch on another one, which the Lord has helped us to put in its proper scriptural perspective in this third and final junction of time. It is an issue the Lord has opened up for us, thereby straightening us out, enabling us to drop a particularly traditional way of looking at a prophetic truth. However, we will close the message right here to conclude in the next segment of the scribe by the grace of God. The Lord bless you.